And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report for this Monday, April 22nd, 2013 edition. I am your live host, Joe Hagman. My co-host, Doug Hagman, is not with me tonight. I am not in studio. I am in a secret, undisclosed location, and we will, for the next 3 hours, be going over some news, headlines, some stuff that we missed last week. We're going to be joined this first hour by another show host, Lori, from Lori's News Talk Radio, and we're going to be talking with her a little bit about the news and about what she's doing on her show. Just a couple of things I want to hit on here before we get to Lori, as she is waiting on hold patiently. Some of the things we're going to be covering in the second and third hour, as well as taking your phone calls in the second and third hour, is the Eurozone crisis increasing the IMF's power. This was an article from last week we did not get to that was on the New York Times that is very important. It talks about how the IMF is becoming more powerful through the crises of other countries' economic condition. And this is a bad sign for those who want to be sovereign, for those who want to be not part of a world government, but a sovereign nation, as the IMF continues its influence over the political leaders of this world, the banking system, and reaches its tentacles as far as the UN and some of the places we talk about, the meetings where the real people make decisions, like the Trilateral Commission, and etc. Also, Americans are snapping by the millions. Suicide, mental illness, fear, paranoia, anxiety. This was an article from earlier today I saw from WorldNet Daily, and it really didn't surprise me to see record fear, stress, and suicide numbers in America as people are changing. We talk about the energy, the spiritual energy we feel, the intensity of that energy, and how things seem to change in the spiritual world as we feel that change inside of us. Well, I guess those without the Lord or without the knowledge of the Lord, they can't deal with it. So this is why we're seeing record suicide, attempted suicide, fear, and record people that are just feared to the point where they need to go take drugs because they don't know what else to do from a psychiatrist. But we'll get into that and some other stories in the second hour. We're going to bring on Lori from Lori's Talk News Radio. I'm going to get the links to her show and her website up in the chat room, and I will read them aloud here on air. Lori's News Talk Radio is on Blog Talk Radio, and you can go to Lori's, Lorries, talknewsradio.com, and she has a site there where she puts news articles up, and she also has a little shop, a store, and that stuff can be found at the link I just provided, loriesnewstalkradio.com. With that, Lori, welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Well, thank you so much for having me on this evening, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear you. We were on your show, my father and I. It was at least a month and a half ago, and you've had some great guests on your show, like Greg Evenson, Doc Marquis, and go ahead and name a couple others, because I know there's some good ones, real good ones in there I missed.
Well, and you can find most of these on the website. I don't put every single guest, but I've had Larry Grathwohl, on. He was actually the first guest I had, and he joined me for about a month. I recently had him back on. And then I've had Dr. Edwin Vieira on, Michael Badnarik, Dr. Michael Kaufman, Sheriff Richard Mack, Fritz Springmeier, Joe Bannister, Charlotte Iserby, Alfred Adask, Bob Schultz, Dean Clifford, Mary Tokel, Constance Cumby, and I'll go ahead and rattle them all off, I guess. Joyce Riley's been on there. That was a great interview. So was Greg Evenson. Dr. Catherine Albrecht, Rosa Corey, Pastor Butch Paul. I've had, like you said, I had you and your dad on. I had you on once. Your dad was supposed to come on, but you guys had an extended show or something. He couldn't make it the first time, so you filled in and then came on. And then, like you said, had you guys on. But I've had Larry Pratt on. We've got all this Second Amendment business going on. Let's see.
That's a long, great list of people.
Well, D.V. Kidd and also G. Edward Griffin and Jim Mars are some of the more recent ones I've had on. They're fairly well known.
I think you're going to have to send me your Rolodex. some of those people would love to have on the show. No, that's fantastic. And we've met each other through doing Blog Talk Radio, being on the same network. And you do have a great show. And like you just mentioned, lots of guests who have a lot to offer and with today's current events going on. Out of all those guests, if you had to pick, I don't know, your best show, your most important show, your favorite show, favorite guest, and make any other guest feel bad, but I mean, if you had a show where you would put on display or it could be your only show anyone can hear, do you have a choice in which one that would be?
Well, I've been asked that before, and that is kind of a tough question, primarily because of the diversity. I mean, when you cover everything from, you know, vaccinations to Agenda 21 and ICLEI, the interesting thing is these things all really kind of blend together. One of the things I've been trying to do is get people to understand that while we're bickering about intimate details of 9/11, for example, we seem to lose sight that it's the same people doing these. And we've heard them. You mentioned a couple of them here in your opening here with, you know, the Trilateral and the Bilderberger and, you know, and get into Rothschild and Rockefeller. But it's the same group of people up on top that are doing all these. I know that there have been some very powerful interviews. Joyce Riley and Greg Evenson actually both put on very, very good ones. I've heard Joyce several times throughout the years, and she came on, and I either never heard this story or I missed it, but she was talking about going to, I think it was a congressional meeting, where she had all this documentation laid out. They didn't dispute it. They acknowledged, yes, this is harming people. Yes, this is killing people. They said, that's very good. Close it up, go away, and don't ever come back again. And I don't even know what to say to that, Joe. I mean... when people acknowledge, yes, we're making you sick, yes, we're killing you, and they say, shut up and go away, I don't even know what to say to that.
No, I agree with you there. Now, Greg Evenson, a wonderful guest. I've seen Joyce Riley on TV. My mom listens to her. She actually gave me a book for Christmas from Joyce Riley. I have not got a chance to read it yet. But that's not somebody I've really followed. I know a lot of women like to listen to her, and like I said, not somebody I know too much about, but Mr. Evenson, always a great guest. And you said Charlotte Iserby was another guest, and you talked about Agenda 21. What have you learned? What is the most troubling thing that you've learned since you've become a show host that it seems to be the most pressing issue or the most important issue people in the alternative world need to know? Is it one issue? Is it Agenda 21? Is it, I don't know, the current working and background of politicians and politics happening in the U.S. now? Is it the one world government conspiracy theory, as they like to call it?
Well, my answer to that question actually may surprise you and many of your listeners. One of the ones I had not mentioned also was Suzanne Posel. she's a columnist, has Occupy Corporatism, and her and I have spoken about it. She's a regular on the show on Sundays. And I don't want to get into the intimate details of some of the things she's been going through with some people. But one of the things that I got to tell you, Joe, that is most bothersome to me is with what we call the alternative media. It seems like there's a lot of infighting. We have people, you know, I mean, 9/11, I just use that not to harp on that particular subject, just a ready-made skateboard, as it were. We sit here, we got people that are debating about, you know, how exactly it happened. We end up not talking to each other, and we say, oh, they're full of it, and they don't know what they're talking about, and this type of thing. And we end up fighting one another instead of people doing these. I mean, these people are the ones doing these things, and for those of you, and I know you have a large Christian audience, the Scripture tells us who they are. It's the rich men of the earth. And we know who some of these names are. Again, you mentioned some of them, Rothschild, Rockefeller, Bilderberg. They're not the problem. It's not Barack Hussein Obama. It's not George W. Bush. It's none of them. Those people have always been around. They'll always be around. It's the people that allow this to happen. What is that? I forget who said that, Joe. The only thing needed for evil men to succeed, that's right.
Good men to say nothing or do nothing.
And a perfect case in point, you had a guest on a while back. I wanted to get her on, and it just never did seem to work out, is Dr. Judy Wood. And mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I listened, this was some time ago, to an interview where Alex Jones had Jesse Ventura on, and he says, well, Jesse, you know, talk about 9/11 or whatever, paraphrasing here, of course, and I'll do my best, Jesse, I can do. He says, well, Alex, you know, I'll talk about it this time, but after that, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Because he got beat up. And why? Because Dr. Jukewood has some theories about this. Now, look, I've been saying this on my show, and I'd like to get it out here. I don't care if it was PSYOP. I don't care if it was MYOP. I don't care if it was thermite, pulse energy. I don't care. What I do know is it did not happen the way we were told it happened. We know they've been covering it up ever since, and therefore the people that have been doing this cover-up are complacent at best, if not outright accessories. And it needs to stop. But instead, we sit here and infight and bicker about, oh, no, oh, that's the most ridiculous thing. Of course there were planes. I saw them with my own eyes. Does it matter? You know, this whole thing, you can't say the word conspiracy. Everybody there just thought, they heard that word, tooted theory, right after. And they know this association with it. Another example, if I say excruciating, you're not thinking birthday cake. You're thinking pain. They have a name for that in linguistics. But the bottom line is, of course there's going to be, if there's conspiracies, there's going to be theories about it. Because if we know the facts, we're not going to theorize about it. We know the facts. There's nothing there to theorize. But if we don't, we start guessing at what happened. And without all the evidence, people come up with all kinds of ideas, and then here we are fighting with one another instead of making these people stop.
You're exactly right. And what you just pointed out is really the cornerstone problem with the alternative / truth media is that no matter what the issue, and you guys could, I mean, people can be on the same side of the coin, they won't agree or put their differences aside enough to agree, enough to come together and make a difference. And yeah, we've had we've had him on, he was the sheriff, but the gentleman from 9/11 Architects and Engineers, Richard Gage, he was a guest on our show. Great guest we had a while back. And we had Dr. Judy Wood. Now, she was a great guest, too. But if, you know, these people can't come together and they are dividing a movement of truth, that is a problem because we are supposed to look for truth in everything we do. And for these people to both take people who are looking for them truth and try to lead them down separate paths. And it goes to more about what you said about it's not all these people. It is us, because it is our responsibility to be able to discern what is truth and what is not truth. It is our responsibility to find out if we don't know, or pray if we want answers, and look up the information we need to hear or should be hearing on our news, on our radio and TV that we're not hearing because the people we talked about, these evil groups of people, they have a monopoly over all mass communications, whether it be TV, radio, paper, print, and a lot of alternative news, apparently, because I don't know if we'd be seeing, if the agenda was simply the truth and to help people, you wouldn't be seeing as much infighting as you do.
Right. Well, and that's what I said, that my answer might surprise you a bit. And something I noticed actually starting years ago, it's like we have these little, I don't know what else to call them, Joe, subcultures forming. There's these little groupies, and it's to the point, it seems like people are following people instead of the information. And I don't know if that came out right or not, but it's like, and I don't care if it's on a secular basis or if it's on a religious basis, it's like people just, they'll follow an individual on every show they go to.
Right.
I don't know if that's probably not making sense.
No, you're making sense to me. And what you're saying is people, instead of, even as the Bible says, I think in Psalms, I have to find it, but it says, people seek men instead of seeking for themselves and seeking the Lord. They seek other people. And I know in the New Testament, and this is something I was going to talk about after the show, or after you were done as a guest this hour, was the deception that is going on. Now, we talked before the show, and you are and I are on the same page with the Boston situation. We have no idea what is the truth and what is not, because we have not been presented with evidence either way. I mean, we were told what they said happened, but we haven't seen video of them dropping the backpacks off. We haven't seen evidence that they were the ones that committed the crime, but this is what they're telling, to the point they say it. The FBI says it, and the police say it, and then they get caught. You know, one's died and one's caught critically injured, and we have people cheering in the streets for their deaths, not even knowing if they're innocent. And if they're cheering for these people's deaths and capture today, who tomorrow will they be cheering for that is dead or captured?
Yeah, and the last part to that question, I think, is I almost see this Gnosticism forming. It's almost, to use Alex's, InfoWars. It's almost like somehow we think that if we get enough information, gain enough knowledge, somehow all this will go away. And for your listeners that get into word studies, and I'm sure there's probably quite a few of them out there, one of my favorite ones in there, in the Greek, is poieo, to make or to do. Noah was moved with fear, for example. Moved is the operative there, and it's an action or a doing word. I mean, I don't want to get into a whole English lesson here. That's not the point. But the point is, knowing this stuff is fine and well and good. What are we going to do about it is the thing. And so I've kind of been shifting the show a little bit. I mean, I know people kind of cringe when they hear this word prepper or sovereign or something like this, but there's a lot of people out there hunkering down, and I remember hearing the term that no man is an island, and yet if we're fractured, if we're divided, a house divided against itself cannot stand, and they've done a pretty good job at getting us divided against ourselves. Everything from male and female, the black and white, the Christian and Judaism and Islam and on. I mean, you think of anything, old and young. I mean, in every way,
they've
got it divided. You can't hardly get three people to sit down and agree on anything these days, it seems like. And it's killing us.
That's exactly right. And I don't know if you have studied any of this. I just came across some of it and started to study it. There are these theories and laws that these people have through mathematics and different sciences they use, but it is learning how to break down people through division to get desired and preconceived outcomes. Outcomes that they have already laid out. Basically, trapping all of us to the point where it doesn't matter what decision we make here or there, we end up in the same spot, when that's not really the case, but that's what they have been able to build due to the lack of action and the ignorance of so many today who just go along to get along, who just are part or want to be part of. You know, especially I would compare it to high school. You have your, when I was in high school, you had the, you know, the cool people. You had the nerdy people. You had people who were very secluded from everybody. You had all these different groups. And it's like that today. Like, and that's what you're saying with the cult-like followings of some people. Well, I don't think it's bad that people follow other people, as long as they don't, you know, take anybody's word to be 100% truth. I mean, even us, but anybody, it doesn't matter who. People have to do the research, do the Bible reading, do everything themselves, and turn to the Lord for answers. Turn to the to find the truth before you make a decision. We cannot judge things that we don't know anything about.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And, you know, one of the things we hear about these psyops. This country is under the largest sustained psyop that's ever been perpetrated on humanity. And it's because the U.S. is the biggest target. It has to be brought down for this whole thing to gel. And that's exactly what they're doing. And one of the things is, all this research that is done, be it through warfare, be it through advertisement, these people have and keep all these psychological records. They have psychiatrists and psychologists on retainer, on their payroll all the time. What is it Google says? They want to be the mind of God. You know, I mean, we have the five I will. And I said it last night, I think it was on my show. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. No, you won't. Oh, you'll get the upper hand very briefly, but no, you won't. But that's not going to keep these people from trying. And that's one of the things is they are using psychiatry and psychology against us. They've done the study. They know what makes us tick, how we think, how we react to things. Of course, there's the whole spiritual side of things that a lot of people dismiss. It throws a little cog in a wrench from time to time, just when and as needed, that they just don't seem to get. It's interesting. Somebody here just put in Nazi in here, have everything on paper. One of the things I like bringing out, those of you maybe speak German, you know, in the concentration camps there, they would put up there, Arbeit macht frei. That is to say, work makes you free. And and the prisoners used to sing, Ja, aber mein Gedanken sind frei. Yes, but my thoughts remain free. I assure you, that has been a stick in these people's eye ever since then. That's what all this mind mapping is. You know, we had the Human Genome Project, but now they want to map the human brain.
Yeah, no, you're right, Lori. I have tons of information on that, actually. You can continue talking while I bring up the story from last week that we never fully covered about the project, DARPA's new project to map the human brain. Yeah, President Obama wants to get inside your brain.
Yep.
And
yep.
On that point, there's some executive orders we missed. Executive Order 13521, that was from November 24th of 2009. It is establishing the Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues. In it, it states that these issues basically are going to – the science issues are going to intersect with human right issues and – they're going to have to keep the integrity and the conflicts of interest and research This is some of the stuff they're going to have to review when the intersection of science and human rights meet. And so what could they possibly be talking about other than an invasion of your body?
Yeah, I want to say something there. That right there, what you just read, is a perfect example of the PSYOPs wonder. It's gonna, really? I submit it already has. Just like we keep hearing people say, we're going to have martial law. No, folks, we've already got martial law. We've been in martial law since everybody is alive today has been alive. It's been a soft form of martial law, a financial under-the-radar martial law. It's heating up. I mean, I think most of your audience, mine as well, they're aware we have foreign troops here, the militarization of police, these armed personnel carriers, they're being moved, FEMA camps, and all this. Now, some people can call that fear-mongering. I suppose if one would look at it that way, but I don't know. When somebody's over there beating a war drum, I kind of want to go see what they're beating the drum about.
No, that's exactly right. And the denial of the FEMA camps at the same time, I mean, you're right about the PSYOP. There is a massive PSYOP going on. It is the part of the Great Deception, getting people to the point where they rely on the news, where they rely on other people, whether it be pastors for their spiritual information, or news anchors or radio show hosts for their current events information. It's one thing to listen and consider and what do they always say? Trust but validate, or trust but something like along those lines.
Yeah.
They don't follow that. They listen, and that is their new facts for the day, as if they are being told what to think, and they're doing exactly what these people plan, which is listening to what they're being told. And it is closing off a huge percentage of the ability of people and their minds to be able to think for themselves. I mean, really, people are prisoners of their own mind, and they don't even know it. If that's not a deception, what is?
Well, it's interesting, too, because one of the things, I suppose one could call it a blessing, one could call it a cursing, you know, the Lord has us each with our own little things. And one of the things that he's blessed or cursed, as you would have, is he's shown me how it's worked into our vernacular. And that's why I capped on that. A perfect example is, there was somebody else I was listening to one of their BTR shows, this was a while back, and he was getting pretty frustrated about all this small arm ban treaty and this and that, and he's kind of pounding his fist and says, we have a right to have semi-automatic weapons. And I said to this individual, and he knows I call him on this, what I do now, I said, look, I said, the Second Amendment says that we have the right to keep and bear arms. There's no differentiation between fully automatic. There's no differentiation between semi-automatic, what size capacity magazine. It was purposely written that way. And yet what happened, 1934, we've got this, this machine gun thing because of Bonnie and Clyde and all them. And now we've got to have this permit to have this certain thing so we can even have them, and all these stipulations, so on and so forth. And then when we get into all these other false flag operations where they've done this, you know, Waco and Ruby Ridge and all this kind of stuff, the more recent ones, and now they've got us sitting here going, oh, I have a right to a semi-automatic weapon. And I can hear it, if we have a decade left, a decade down the road, we're going, I have a right to my single-shot breakdown shotgun. And the point is, there has to be a line drawn in the sand. And you can't just keep redrawing it. And that's exactly what's going on. What do they call it? A totalitarian tiptoe or something?
Yeah, that's a good word. I've never heard that phrase before, but that's pretty good. So, in your mind, all these things you're seeing going on, does America have a future as a nation?
I think, Joe, that if the American people do not, A, wake up, and B, stand up. No, I don't. And I don't like saying that. I don't like thinking it, and I certainly do not like saying it.
Yeah.
But I'll go back to the Declaration of Independence. You know, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations, evidences, same, and on and on, you people know what that says. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such tyranny. Now, I'll simply pose. I don't have a definition for that.
Okay. I cut out for a little bit or something. There was a break in audio. But who are you calling you people? I'm kidding.
Say again?
I said, who are you calling you people? No, I was kidding.
No, everybody that's listening. I mean, you've got a pretty large audience, and I'm sure they range everywhere from trolls to wide awake and everything in between, just like mine and I suppose everybody else's. You know, you have people out there. I mean, this is kind of a scary thing for people to look at and think that the government's this way. I mean, it's almost like learning mommy and daddy are going to eat you. I mean, they're warming up the skillet, they're sizzling the butter, and they're fixing to throw you in the cook pot. It's kind of scary.
I agree. It is very scary. And, you know, you said you don't like saying about America not coming back. Well, I really am at the point in my where I believe truly that America is lost and we will never see it come back. And not only that, and we can disagree or not disagree here, and I know some people will, but I think people have to stop looking to America, looking at America as a part of something they want to be a part of. It has become too much part of the world. It is the worst part of the world when dealing with other. I mean, look at the drone programs, the humanitarian problems we have. We have been a great nation in past with charity and giving and helping people. But what have we turned into? Now just killing people, killing our own citizens on foreign nation soil without warrants, without evidence, trials. I think America has turned into the most dangerous and ugly sides of Nazism, communism, and all the other isms you can throw in there. It is terrible to see what this nation's become. And I personally believe if anybody wants to save America, they're going to have to understand and save themselves first and understand what that means spiritually. They're going to have to spiritually come awake with knowledge of the Bible, have a good understanding of why the Lord died on the cross for us before they can really make any decisions about their country.
Well, I absolutely agree with that. And you know, you'd mentioned earlier about if you didn't know the Lord, I don't remember exactly what you said. I got to tell you, if I knew what I know and didn't have the Lord as my rock, as my anchor, I'd be scared to death. But as far as what you said about the country being lost, you know, and this is part of the lie. America's the greatest, we're the freest country in the world. It's the greatest nation in the world. Really? No, I expect that it used to be. I think this is why we're having record expatriations. This is why people are not wanting to come here. Sorry, I've got a call up. I have to deny that. That was somebody trying to call me. They don't know that I'm on your air. Let me let them know. Well, okay, it'll sit and ring on that one. But anyway, you know, and look at the suicides that we have in the military. I mean, it's my understanding, if I can believe these numbers they give us, that there are more troops killing themselves than are being killed in battle. Why?
Yeah.
Why are these things happening? Why is it that up to and just through World War II, we're the wealthiest nation? Where did all this go? You know, gold,
smartest, yep.
Yeah, and the smartest, that's Charlotte Iserby. You know, these things don't just disappear like the proverbial fart in the wind. They don't vaporize. It doesn't evaporate. It went someplace, and it's the same thing. I'm glad you brought that up. We used to, I mean, when it came to math and science, we were numbers you could count it on one hand in all those areas. Now we're way down below, you know, South Korea and all these other places. I mean, what happened? We're spending record amounts of money on all these things, on defense, on education, and yet we seem to be some of the stupidest people. And I've got to tell you something I don't like. There's a lot of people outside this country, and I've lived outside this country. In fact, until I was 18 years old, that was a cutoff for me where half my life had been spent outside the United States because my dad was in the Air Force. So I moved around quite a bit. But there are people that live outside this country that know more about what's going on in this country than people that live here. And that's bizarre to me.
Yes. No, you're exactly right. We have listeners from all over the world, and many of them much more in tune with what's going on than the neighbors that live around me. And that is sad. I guess we have grown up in an age of exceptionalism. We have all the finer things in life. Water, running water, heat, roof over our heads, and food available readily at the stores, even fast food if we wanted to pick up food cooked for us already. What's going to happen when people lose their ability to get food or water or electric?
Yes, that is... I said this before, you know, and there's a certain... I use sarcasm. A lot of people don't get it. A lot of people don't like it. I used to listen to a pastor years ago, grew up with him, cut my teeth on him, however you want to call it. And he said that if people had to cut firewood, they just have to roll over and die. And I've kind of carried on with that little analogy, and I wonder how many people you could hand a live chicken to and they'd die of starvation. And as silly as that sounds, I think it's true.
People can't take care of themselves. How can they take care of something else? I mean, you're exactly right. What's really helped this nation go down the wrong road in such a quick period of time is the lack of parenting anymore. My dad, I'm Generation X, the people call it, or the schools call it. This is something that's taught when I was in business school about advertising and marketing and to the different people you had to curtail your ad for, whether it be older people or younger people, and they always refer to younger people as Generation X. Well, Generation X and their kids, they're not great parents at all, and the parents they had, in a lot of cases, care more about themselves than they do the well-being of their children. Now, if I did something wrong, my dad, I went to jail. He used to call the cops on me. I'd go to jail. And, he made me be accountable for my actions. That is not a normal parenting tool today, it seems.
No. Now we have people that are blaming inanimate objects because we can't be responsible for anything. You know, and it's interesting what you said about the family. That has been purposely targeted, as you and I'm sure most all your audience knows, is to break that up so that we don't have that in the society. They don't want it because that's the way that the Lord made it. And the interesting thing, too, is when you said, I don't remember exactly what you said, but it tripped a little trigger. King Hezekiah, for those of you who may have remembered the story, you know, he brought the queen up, showed him everything, and he's being told, well, what did you do? Now they're going to come and they're killing us. And what was his response? Should there not be peace in my day? You know, I've actually heard it, and there are people out there, elderly especially, that are saying, well, I hope I'm dead before it all happens. And then I've got to listen to this word love, about how they love their children, love their grandchildren. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be mean, I don't mean to be critical, but I see a disconnect here. Here you're acknowledging there's a problem.
Yep.
And saying, I just hope it either just goes away on its own, which I think anybody with two brain cells working together knows this ain't just going to go away, or that before it really comes to a head that I'm gone, I'm passed on. That tells me, that statement alone tells me, they do not care about their children or their grandchildren's well-being. And I got to tell you, Joe, I resent that. I that bunches me up to think that people have become so self-centered, so self-serving, that they do not even care about their own children and grandchildren. And Charlotte Iserby, she brings that up. I remember the first time I heard that woman. These are your children and your grandchildren. Don't you care? Wake up.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me.
And I heard today on a, it was today or yesterday on Fox, it was a Fox rerun of something. I don't have cable, I have this Roku box, and you get free news and stuff. But it's just audio, unless you want to watch archives. Anyway, they were watching, I was listening to audio as I was doing dishes, and this segment came on where this British mother said she has no feelings for her children whatsoever. And the Fox host said, well, isn't this lady, you know, speaking her First Amendment right, or isn't this lady speaking out and maybe being the first one to say what a lot of other people are afraid to say, that, you know, they don't feel any emotion for their children? And they were, Fox was promoting this almost, making it sound like it's not bad to feel this way or think this way. And
well,
I didn't upload the clip. I'm sure I could find it, but I'll send it to you later if I do find it, and I'll play it tomorrow. But it was incredible to what I was hearing. I could not believe, even on, I mean, MSNBC, we saw that Harris lady come out and say, you have to get rid of the idea that your children are yours and they're more of the collective. Well, if you have a whole generation of people who disregard their kids emotionally and don't love them, don't care for them, who's going to be there to take care of them and want them? Of course a totalitarian government is going to want as many people they can have at a young age to indoctrinate and make them think a certain way. Because it has always been throughout history, people have taught their kids and their families, they've stuck together throughout. You know, there used to be a grandmother, grandfather, mother, father, and kids all living in a one-room cabin, you know, 100 years ago. Now it's gotten so far from that, people inside who live in their own houses don't even talk to each other because of the increase in technology with phones and computers and everything we see.
Yeah.
So
it's militaristic.
Huge. Yeah, huge disconnect.
Military, what's the first thing you do? If you go look at what the military did there in Iraq, what's the first thing you do? They sever lines of communication. Because if people don't communicate, they can't organize anything. And I've asked people questions. I used to drive a school bus for a number of years up there. I don't anymore. And one of the students wanted to start hanging out and doing some chores, and I asked her a question one day, well, several times, and she wouldn't answer me to my face. She said, just a minute. She'd go in the next room and email me the answer on a computer. I'm sorry. That just strikes me as very, very odd.
Yes.
And it's like if they're not texting, there's not much in the way of face-to-face communication. I mean, sometimes there can't be. That's why we have phones and stuff.
Right.
But to turn around and leave a room to go answer somebody, send them an email, I don't know. It just strikes me as rather peculiar.
They're reducing the human beings to a basic level of intelligence of that just above an animal, really. I mean, to not be able to communicate. Instead of being able to communicate in an articulate way, we see swearing and this secondary computer language of these, you know, LOL. And I'm guilty of using them occasionally. But people who don't have the intelligence, I mean, look what they're trying to do. They're lowering the standards of what you need to do to pass high school, the curriculum you need to learn.
Yes.
Sixth grade reading level 100 years ago is now a college reading level. It is a dumbing down of the people, not just through educational purposes, or not just through educational tools, but through the water supply. Has, you know, the fluoride in the water. That is proven to ruin your intellect abilities.
Oh, by the way, since you brought that up, not necessary to plug, but that's in part, I guess, why we're... I actually did finally manage to get Dr. Paul Conant on. He's supposed to be on Tuesday about that very issue with the fluoride. And it sounds like it's going to be a long show because he asked how long it was, and I told him, well, it's scheduled for 2 hours, but I'd like to get at least a solid hour, but we can go to three if we could. And he said, oh, good, the longer the better. So So I hope we didn't step in that accident, but it sounds like the man wants to come on and talk. So if anybody's interested, that's going to be on Tuesday. But yeah, Joe, this whole thing with this communication and the family, it's they do everything. They take biblical concepts and they do the exact opposite. You know, what's the first question in Scripture recorded being asked of the Lord? Am I my brother's keeper? And you know, the Lord never answered that question directly as recorded in the Scripture. But the answer to that question is through the entirety of Scripture. And it's a rhetorical question. The answer is yes, it is. And when we cease being our brother's keeper, there's not much point. There really is not much point.
That was so well said, Lori. That is great. And that's true. I do not recall in Genesis the Lord giving Cain an answer to that. What he did do was multiply the times of the amount of suffering one would have if they were to kill him by, I think, 7 times, and the next by 77 times. But you're right, throughout the Bible, it does tell us how we treat our neighbor. And not only our neighbor, how we treat our enemy. And that is something I think that plays a huge role in how people think. If people were taught and really could think and have a heart to love their enemy, this world would not be the place that it is today.
Yes, well, that's true, and I don't want to get into splitting hairs. We don't have time anyway, but this whole thing, love, and I'm sure you've heard the discussions about it, and it's very interesting because you hear that the King James Bible has all these transliterary errors. Oh, I beg to differ. It's translated just perfectly, thank you. The problem is there are certain words in English, or in Greek, we do not have the same words in English. And one of those is love.
Okay.
We say love in English. Oh, I love my husband. I love my dog. I love chocolate chip cookies. Do we love all three of those the same way? No, but we use the same word for them. They had different words. And a lot of this, for people that don't do a word study on that, miss a lot. Like when Christ and Peter were having their dialogue, lovest thou me more than these? And you read it, 3 times he said that, and he went away the 3rd time sad because he said, well, if you just love is all you see there. But when you look at it in the Greek, totally, totally different. Yes, I did mention cookies. Sorry about that. But it is, and it's interesting because we have become so emotional. It's like we're like a trained seal almost. They respond based on our emotions. And I was having a conversation with somebody that's a regular on my show about that very subject, about how. Shoot, I just lost my train of thought there because I, yes.
You were talking about emotions, how we're led by our emotions instead of removing our emotions. And I'll add on that, and hopefully you can get your point back because this is very important. We are to put,
oh.
If you look at the, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember what it was. I don't want to air any dirty laundry here, but somebody once told me it doesn't matter if it's true or not. It matters how I feel about it. And that just blew my mind. And so I've got this program called eSword, wonderful program. It's free. I would recommend it to anybody, e-sword.net. But anyway, and so I look up every occurrence of feels, felt, feeling, everything that I could. And arguably one in the entirety of the Bible could I find that even hinted that it might be what we call emotion today. It was sensory, to touch. It had nothing to do with how I feel about it. And yet, we've got a society that sits here and is run on our emotions as a whole. And all this propaganda tugs at our heartstrings.
As it's designed to do. Yes, you're
as
right.
As it's designed to do, exactly.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with this publication. It is called Social Norms and Global Environmental Challenges. The Complex Interaction of Behaviors, Values, and Policy. In this document, it talks about how to, it says government policies are needed when people's behaviors fail to deliver the public good. Those policies will be most effective when they can stimulate long-term changes in beliefs and norms, creating and reinforcing the behaviors needed to solidify and extend the public good. Basically saying, if we don't like the way you think or behave, we are going to implement policies and changes to mess with everybody that we can, reinforce the positive behaviors or the behaviors they see positive, and give negative results to those they don't. And we see this today in business. We do not have a capitalist free market system. We have waivers, exemptions, different tax statuses based on campaign donations. It's not fair, and they're creating these conditions to, like we said earlier, you talked about the suicide rate in the military. I believe a lot of the military suicide is, A, what they've seen or done, or, two, the experimentation being done on them through different medications, how hard that they push them, and the different ways they indoctrinate them, and, you know, the labeling that now veterans are going through, being then targeted as one of the number one enemies in the United States. So much so that when they get done with their tour of duty of defending this nation against enemies, foreign and domestic, they're disarmed now because they can be trusted with a weapon in other countries to kill other people.
Yeah.
But they can't be trusted here with weapons.
Well, Joe, Charlotte Isherby brings that up, too, about the quote-unquote education system is to challenge and change their thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. And that's exactly what they do in there. And they turn around and, well, you've heard. She gives tons of examples of how they do this. They come up with these things. You know, this person's eating filet mignon and Swiss fondue and cordon bleu and all this. And this poor fellow over here is just having a haunting. Is that really fair? Well, what is a child 8 years old going to do with that? Oh, well, no, of course not. And then they ask Soviet indoctrination type questions. Dr. Kent Colvin, who's unfortunately in prison now for long in his story, but nonetheless, he brought up a perfect example, and I've seen it. They'll turn around and say, under critical thinking, this is critical thinking now, do you think man is still evolving? Explain your answer. Again, what is a 13-year-old going to do with that? They're going to begin explaining the answer of why they think man is either still evolving or has stopped evolving. What's the operative? That they evolve. There's a built-in assumption into that question. That's indoctrination. It is not critical thinking. They're teaching you what to think, not how to think it.
Right, and that's a perfect example because they're not presenting. If they were presenting all the options, saying, "Okay, we have religions that believe we were created, and here is their, you know, they have their Christianity has the Bible, Judaism has the Torah, Islam has the Quran, and present all the information and say, and you know, then you have Darwin with the theory of evolution. It'd be different if they came in after setting a foundation for understanding and said, are men evolving in today's society? Or instead, I'm going to read you a quote from one of these New World Order guys that is quite scary, and it talks about the selective breeding. It says, gradually, by selective breeding, the cognitive differences between rulers and the ruled will increase until they become almost different species. A revolt of the plebs would almost become as unthinkable as an organized insurrection of sheep against the practice of eating mutton. That was Bernard Russell, The Impact of Society on Society, from 1953. So, yeah, this is what they're doing. All those who are in the regular people class, or not the occult class, because that's really what you have to be at that upper level, is an occultist. they're separating these two to the point where they don't even eat the same foods, drink the same water, have the same education, upbringing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we are an end to their means. We provide them with their ability to function as private banking institutions because we've allowed them to become that. If we cut them off, if every country cut them off, gave the control back to their own state, local governments to print money, they would be cut off. The interest is the only thing that where they make their money. And look at our debt. We owe $16 trillion in debt based on interest, mostly. And that's how they have legally snared us, but it's not even repayable, one. And two, we don't even owe it if we were to do things like the Constitution says. But
well, that's a whole nother bailiwick as to who exactly those monies are owed to. Believe it or not, about 95% of that's owed to we the people. That's a long-winded story. It was actually the genesis of my show about when you start getting into the bankruptcy of this country, the things that Roosevelt did and this kind of stuff. But we the people are the primary creditors that they borrow against. It's our labor. But back to what you said about with this divide, it is happening. They are doing it. Have you not noticed that the what we used to call middle class is disappearing?
Oh, yeah.
People that used to be middle class are having problems feeding their family. We got Abomination up there saying there's not enough people on food stamps. That's disappointing. And yet you go to the animal thing, and it says, please don't feed the animals. Ask them why. And it says, because they become dependent upon it. Well, what do those two statements tell us? What are they wanting? They want people to be dependent, because if you are dependent on someone, then you're going to be, they can control you. And that's exactly what they want.
That's right on the money. Lori, we got just a few minutes left before the top of the hour break. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. I know your show, you're going to be doing a show here when you get off our show. But I want to have you back on when my dad's on sometime, and we can finish talking. This is Lori's new talk news radio, or news talk radio?
It's Lori's Talk News Radio. I think I must have put it backwards or something, because a lot of people say it. But Lori's Talk News Radio .com and then on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you so much for having me on. I've enjoyed it. Wasn't sure what all we were going to get into, but
we could have you on the whole show. This was a great conversation, and you bring an insight and a manner of thinking that is excellent, and I love it. I love the conversation we had, and we definitely will have to do it again right here on Blog Talk Radio, Lori's Talk News Radio. And I've put the link in the chat. I'll do it again. Go to her website and see what she's got over there, and I'll post a link to that in chat and say that on the air. That is Lori's Talk News Radio.com, and you can get the links from there and find her site. Anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
No, that's about it for right now. And love to come back on if you ever have need of a fill in or something again. And
you're no fill in, Lori. You are a great guest, and it is a pleasure to have you. And we will have you again for sure.
Okay. Well, thank you, and God bless, and see your audience as well. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Lori. And there we go. Lori from Lori's Talk News Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio, an excellent show host, a friend of the show, and just as you heard, somebody with very great insight, somebody who's grounded, somebody who knows the Lord and understands what's going on in the current world that we are living in, and so many of us and many of other people lack the knowledge, the good knowledge that we need to continue in life down the right path. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report, short one. Hagman. That's Doug Hagman. It's his birthday. He is out of town. He'll be back tomorrow. And we'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to the Hagman Report. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and the Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Pau, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Should the government treat the Boston bombing suspect as an enemy combatant? The mayor said, yes, we should. Now let's hear from Judge Andrew Napolitano.
So am I Larry Holmes following?
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali on this one. Thank you, Charles.
So?
Look, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It is very, very dangerous times that we enter if we start talking about suspending constitutional liberties because of the gravity of the harm and the obviousness of the guilt. This person is entitled to the full panoply of constitutional protections, no matter what he's done and no matter who he's harmed and no matter how many people he's aroused. I'll make Senator Lindsey Graham and Mayor Giuliani's argument. And about Giuliani, let me say this. He's not just the former mayor of New York. He's the former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York and a serious student of the law, unlike a lot of public officials today. Their argument is, suppose this guy was trained by a foreign government or by a foreign entity,
right,
took his uniform off and came here and was their agent, and actually did this as the agent of a foreign entity, Al-Qaeda, or a foreign country that wished to bring down American society. What's the difference if he did that in uniform or out? If he did it in uniform, he'd be in Guantanamo Bay. That's their argument. Except that the governor of Massachusetts, the state police chief of Massachusetts, the commissioner of police of the city of Boston, and the mayor of the city of Boston have all said there's not a scintilla of evidence that these guys had any involvement with any organized group, domestic or foreign.
Yeah, because we can't talk to the guy.
They don't need to talk to him in order to obtain evidence. They have mountains of evidence. They have thousands of pages of documents.
We would get an enormous amount of help in figuring out if this is going to happen again or who his friends were, who his accomplices were, if we could talk to him without a lawyer.
You're buying the television line. Don't buy the television line. They know far more about him than he is going to tell them from the information they've gotten from him already. They need to respect his constitutional liberties, because if they waive his constitutional liberties, there's no limit to the constitutional liberties of
those.
But, Judge,
you're just saying that if he had a couple of buddies, who like-minded buddies right now, who were going to plotting to do something, that we already know that? I mean, they everything that's portrayed about this guy is that he was a nice guy, everyone from teachers to fellow students. How could we not know that without asking him immediately?
How could we trust what he's going to say as being helpful to us when he's sedated, when there's a bullet that just went through his neck, and when he's trying to save himself from the electorate?
Well, wait a second. Look, this is a war. We are clearly in a war.
This is a constitution. We still have a constitution, no matter who is trying to harm.
The last great war we fought, the World War II, FDR suspended, whatever he did. There were German people who came to this country. They were American citizens. They were not in uniform. He took them. They didn't get habeas corpus. They did not get their Miranda warnings, whatever it was.
Well, Miranda didn't exist.
And one of them was executed.
Okay. They were all executed except the Americans.
But that was done before. That has been done in a time of war.
There was a trial. It was not a trial by our standards, but there was a trial. That's an inapt comparison. We have declared war on Germany. These were German soldiers who came here in uniform, who got out of uniform and invaded the United States of America. This is an American citizen who did not leave the United States. I don't speak of the dead brother. I speak of the one that we're talking about. He has the same panoply of constitutional protections as you or EMAC or Charles or Rudy Giuliani or anybody watching us now. And the president is not in a position to strip those rights.
I want information. I want to save future people from this kind of bombing.
I want that information.
And if he gets a lawyer, we won't get that information.
You will get that information by painstaking means and not out of his mouth. The volume of information that they already have would fill this room with documentations and with notes.
We don't know that. We don't know what we could get out of him. We don't know that.
We know what they already have about him, and it's
but we don't know what we could get out of him.
Guess what? The Fifth Amendment prevents us from getting what we want to get out of him. If you want to suspend his Fifth Amendment right, there will be no limit to whose rights you can suspend.
It is the lawyer who will stop us getting what we need to know. Because the first thing that the lawyer must do is to tell his client, don't say a word.
That's what I would say to you if I were your lawyer. You'd want me to.
We're out of time. It was good. Judge, it was
pleasure.
Good.
I know Enoch wanted to say something, but it's yours.
I know.
You know how it is.
I know how it is. I'm not sure the evidence is all in on this guy. That's what I was going
to
say.
Thank you, Liz. That's what I was trying to say, though. I didn't have time to say
it. She said it better than you.
You always get like
survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have a long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the Brick Pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP Brick Packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report this Monday, April 22nd, 2013. Joe Hagman, I am your co-host. My other co-host, Doug, is not here as it is his birthday and my stepmom, his wife's birthday, one day after each other. So the 21st and the 22nd are their birthdays. So they went on a little getaway together, not too far from here, but I hope they are enjoying their time. And I will definitely let him know all the birthday wishes you guys wrote in there in the chat tonight. I played a clip in their commercial break that talked about the rights of, or what is going on, Judge Napolitano's take. It's, the title of that video was, Judge Napolitano, it's dangerous to talk of suspending suspects' constitutional liberties. Now I'm going to play a clip for you here from the White House and themselves as CNN reported the alleged suspects, which we're going to get into these two gentlemen, and what, why should we believe that they're suspects, and the history with the FBI, but why are these people, if they are guilty of committing this act, not being treated as enemy combatants, if they are, in fact, just that, that's what they're saying, but being an enemy combatant still does not deny rights. There are rights that were advised during World War II when we caught prisoners, and they were each allowed, certain amount of humanitarian things or needs, which one needs to survive. But we're seeing something different in today's military / police world when it comes to punishing or carrying out these, especially the drone strikes. I mean, when is it okay to basically blanket bomb a small area or a wedding without any regard to collateral damage of those people around them, just for the name, in the namesake of saying, we killed some militants overseas. Not even knowing if these people are terrorists or not. We went over numbers of drone strikes previously in other shows, and the difference between the Obama drone campaign and the Bush drone campaign. The Bush drone campaign, especially in, I think the country singled out in this study was Pakistan, there were 366 total drone strikes over the period since the drone strikes began. Some were George Bush, some were Obama's. But out of the 366 drone strikes, it was either 314 or 324, or a vast majority were under Obama. The number of civilian deaths have rose so much so that they're killing more civilians than militants, as it just came out in the news last week. But here is Jake Carney on what they say is, I guess, the bomber, boss of bomber, will not be charged as an enemy combatant. This is from the White House.
He will not be treated as an enemy combatant. We will prosecute this terrorist through our civilian system of justice. Under U.S. law, United States citizens cannot be tried in military commissions. And it is important to remember that since 9/11, we have used the federal court system to convict and incarcerate hundreds of terrorists. The effective use of the criminal justice system has resulted in the interrogation, conviction, and detention of both U.S. citizens and non-citizens for acts of terrorism committed inside the United States and around the world. The system has repeatedly proven that it can successfully handle the threat that we continue to face. And there are a number of examples of this, high profile. The Times Square bomber, Faisal Shahzad, pleaded guilty and was sentenced to life in prison. Abdulmutallab, the so-called underwear bomber, was sentenced to life in prison. Warsami, a Somali national who is a member of al-Shabaab and has close associations with al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, is now currently in this system. And we have acquired valuable intelligence from him through the process that is allowed in the system. So this is absolutely the right way to go and the appropriate way to go. And when it comes to United States citizens, it is against the law to try them in military commissions.
Well, that's according to Jay Carney. It is not against the law to try military citizens in military commissions under the NDAA. It is not against the law to kill an American citizen without evidence, jury, or a trial under current U.S. law. These people are just picking and choosing what laws they want as they go. I mean, really. They could have cited the NDAA, but does it even matter? Did these two brothers even do this? Well, there was a weird headline this weekend that if they did, and this is something that my dad and Steve Quayle had talked about, was these two brothers, really were sleeper cells, there would not be just these two. There would be multiple teams of these two. Up to 10 to 12 other men. And that's what they said, well before they came out with this article on Drudge that said there could be possibly or people in these cells. But what evidence have we seen that these men have been guilty of? We see Americans cheering in the street over the capture of these two that have been blamed for the Boston bombings without any supporting evidence other than their picture. Basically, other than their pictures of them at the marathon in backpacks. Well, if we were to go by that evidence, there would be a lot of people who would be in jail right now, as there were many people there with backpacks, some even from the government or National Guard. There are pictures of gentlemen wearing the same shoes, the same pants, and we talked about this on Friday, and let me jump in and say this now. Thursday and Friday, Blog Talk Radio is having a problem, major problem with their site, and we were unable to do a show Thursday. We did start one Friday, and we ended up continuing it on Christians United Broadcasting Network on Justin TV. So there were no archives, really, for us, except Saturday. We had Steve Quayle and Pastor Langford on. But for those of you who think you missed Thursday and Friday's show, you didn't, because We didn't have a show Thursday and Friday. The link to the archive, you can go to Christians United Broadcasting Network or the Hagman and Hagman Report.com and find the link from there. But anyway, these two people who have been deemed by the media as guilty without any supporting evidence, after the one was killed and the other was captured, I saw news footage of people cheering, gladly cheering, just like Osama when they announced Osama bin Laden was dead, happily cheering in the streets as though there was some kind of victory won. Now, if you were to go ask people in that crowd, well, what evidence were you shown that leads you to believe these two men were guilty of what they say? I don't think anybody could answer that question other than the answer of, I heard it on the news, or it's what somebody told me, or it's just going around the work cooler. Because they have all this video of all these gentlemen walking around with backpacks on the pictures of their profiles that they let release to the public. But you know, and I know, they have surveillance cameras and video of the whole time. The places, the time from the beginning, before the bombs were there, to when they were put there, to when they blew up, and so on and so on. Where is the footage? Where are the pictures of these people leaving these backpacks behind? Now, there's no supporting evidence that I've seen other than this media connection. Now, the mother's saying these two people were involved with the FBI for up to 5 years. The FBI knew what they were doing at all times, pretty much. How much stock should we put into what she's saying? Why would she come out and make that up? That the FBI knew the movements of these gentlemen? Knew what they were doing? And if both of them were killed, even the father said, it was definitely an inside job? Something we didn't get to play. I'm not sure how many of you heard this. Right after the bombings, this came out. There was a local man, a University of Mobile coach of cross country. This is what he said about the race at the Boston Marathon, the day of the attacks, when he was there.
Now, several runners from our area are in Boston. They were running in the marathon. Several we talked with were not far from the explosions when they happened today.
Yeah, Local 15's John Zanitas is live in our newsroom right now. John, the University of Mobile cross-country coach actually saw the explosion happen.
That's right, Kim. He had just finished the marathon and was walking back to the finish line to meet up with his wife. That's when the explosion started going off. His wife had been sitting in the section where one of the explosions went off, but thankfully she had left her seat to come meet up with him. He says there was just this thick, blinding cloud of white smoke. They all started running. The coach told me, though, this is interesting, before the marathon, he saw bomb-sniffing dogs and bomb spotters on the roofs at the starting line, and it appeared to him there was some sort of active threat before the explosions went off.
At the start line this morning, they had bomb spotters on the roof of the building, and they had bomb sniffing dogs coming up and down at the start line. And Melanie said there was bomb sniffing dogs at the finish line, but they kept making announcements saying to the participants, do not worry, this is just a training exercise. Well, evidently, I don't believe they were just having a training exercise. I think they must have known, they must have had some kind of threats or suspicions called in.
Now, Coach Stevenson told me he's run plenty of marathons in D.C. and Chicago, other major metropolitan areas, but he's never seen that many bomb-sniffing dogs for a race. For right now, reporting live in the newsroom, John Zanitas, Local 15 News.
John, thank you. Just a horrible ordeal.
All right. That was the coach of cross-country at Mobile, who said that there was plenty of activity before the marathon started, plenty of roof spotters, bomb-sniffing dogs. He's a man who ran many marathons and said that they've never seen a marathon with such security. So you see drills being run by the Boston Bomb Squad. A tweet from the Boston Globe said, officials, there will be a controlled explosion in 1 minute across from the library, I think it read. You can find, I'll find a link to these. And we read some of these things over since this has happened. But there are very serious conflicting accounts. What about the Saudi man who was arrested, who was put into custody, believed to be the suspect? And why did the president's wife visit him? What is that all about? This Saudi man who was the first suspect was said to be in this country and thought to be the person behind these crimes. All of a sudden, he is no longer a person of interest, and he is put in a hospital where they said he will not be deported, but he will be questioned. Janet Napolitano said he would not be deported, but now he's scheduled for deportation tomorrow. Why is that? Who is this guy? And what connections does he have, and what does he know that the rest of us don't know? And will we ever hear from the second brother who was hurt but not killed, as the first brother was reportedly killed by the other brother running him over with a police SUV? I heard a radio show where a woman called in who lived near right where this happened, where they were engaged with police apparently, and she said that the police ran the kid over and then shot him. So what are we to believe? Well, we don't know if they did or didn't do this bombing based on what evidence we've seen, but does it matter? Because the justice has been carried out already, and people are clapping and cheering for it. So if today people are blindly cheering for a probable or an assumption based on what they were told by the government, what will tomorrow bring? Who will people be cheering the death of tomorrow based on what they were told by their government? And who is the government setting up to be the enemy? Christians, patriots, people who love freedom. They're saying people who are, I guess we would call on fire for the Lord, have a mental illness. They're a hinder to the furthering of the tolerant one world religion of inclusion. Now, there's a pattern here between Osama bin Laden. Remember when Obama announced that they had killed and disposed of Mr. Osama bin Laden, that they did so, they killed him, they prepared his body for a burial fitting for Muslims or along Muslim tradition, religious traditions, and threw him out to sea. Then they decided to call a press conference and tell us about it. No pictures of him dying or dead. No pictures of him being tossed off board. No evidence. Same thing with the Pentagon. 89 video cameras caught that on tape. Why are there only one video that was released? One or two videos. This is a pattern of deception. And which leads me to the point. The deception tactic. We cannot be caught up by any deception, whether it be scriptural interpretation to world events, because if we do, we will be like dominoes, as the blind leading the blind. It's not that we have to agree with what the government says, but we have the right to disagree and come to our own conclusions. And in the last, I'd say the whole time since I've been alive, incidents that I've looked into, the government's explanation has been an outright honest lie. And when I say honest lie, they meant to lie. They knew what they were doing when they said the lie. So with that, how can anybody know what truth is or strive to learn truth growing up in that environment? And I guess I've come to the conclusion that unless we search for the truth that the Lord has given us about his life, his sacrifice that he made for our lives, we will not have the ability to come to the truth of anything else. And that might sound backwards for some people, as it did for me when I first thought about it, because I thought I wasn't, you know, reading the Bible all the time. I wasn't praying all the time. I wasn't into the Word all the time. But I was seeing that there was a big problem with what was told to us versus what was real. But after thinking about it, my mother had laid a great foundation for me in Christianity. She taught me about Jesus. She reinforced that belief all the time. So I did have somewhat of a foundation. But that led me to the Bible. My eyes being opened led me right to the Bible. And as the more and more I read the Bible, the more and more easily it is to see the deception. But I guess there is a point to all this. Some are silent, some lie, some listen, some talk. But what does it matter if you're not spiritually saved? What does anything matter if you're not saved? And I know we reiterate this all the time, but it can't be a point said enough. These people who are clapping the deaths of these two kids will be clapping when they're being led to their own death. This is how ignorant these people are. And I'm not saying it to make them put them down or make them sound bad. But these people are the beginning of a great deception. And when they do care, I mean, the deception aspect, Jesus talked about and used the word deception when explaining what the last times would look like. He used the word deception, I think, in Matthew 24, more than he used the word earthquakes, more than he used the word pestilence and famine, wars. I'm getting my Bible out here just to make sure. And I think all the New Testament Gospels pick up on that and have it written the same way, where there will be deceivers that come, some saying that they are come as the Lord or our God and will deceive many. I'm sorry, Matthew 24, not 28. And I got to it here. But no, deception will rule in the end times. And if there's been deception from the beginning, since the Garden of Eden, all the way until the flood of Noah, where the flood came and only a few people were saved, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came. They did not know who he was. There was deception in his time. How much worse will the deception be for those in the end times? And that's what we need to worry about, because we are in these times. And as this continues, these events continue to unfold, we need to learn to look less on the news for answers and more to our Bible and more to him. Because we can ask him and he will provide the answer. Knock and I will answer is what he says. So don't be part of the people clapping and cheering your way to your own death, as some of these people will be in the world. But be individual, separate. Be on your own mission for truth. Don't listen to any man. As somebody in the chat room pointed out, Psalms 118, I think verse 8. And I'm pulling it up now here. And it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Now, interestingly enough, as I found out, that verse is the dead center of the Bible. That is the middle. If you had to break the Bible down into, forget the Old Testament, New Testament, just words or verses, that is the very middle verse of the Bible. I'll read it again. Psalms 118, verse 8. "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It goes on. "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about in the name of the Lord. I will destroy them. They compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them." But no, there is a lesson to be learned here, and we already know what that is. We need to pray. Put aside time every single day. And if it's the... I know people work and time is tight. Time is tight for everybody. It speeds up, it seems like. But we need to put time aside every day away to spend with the Lord. Otherwise, how will we know what he wants us to do in these times that are coming? I'm going to open the phone lines, 661-244-9839. And I'm going to play another clip, news clip here. This is something we missed last week. CISPA was approved by the U.S. representatives, and here is the clip from Russia Today from last week.
The controversial Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act has been approved by the House of Representatives. One of the congressmen evoked Monday's deadly bombings in Boston as a reason to pass it. Let's get some more details on this, shall we, and talk to RT America's website producer, Andrew Blake. He's been closely following the debates over the bill. Hi there, Andrew. This bill seems in a bit of limbo at the moment, doesn't it? What are the chances that it's actually going to get through or be blocked? Which way is it going to go?
Okay, well, you know, it did pass the House today, and it's going to have to move on to the Senate, and should these U.S. senators agree to advance it like the House did today and send it over to the White House, it's enough to President Obama to ink his name to it, and then from there, we have CISPA. However, just earlier this week, top aides for the White House actually said that we will recommend the President veto this legislation. So should it pass the Senate, there is this warning that the President will not sign it, and he'll actually completely reject it. But we have to keep in mind this is a President who has said before, or his aides have said before, that they will do one thing and have done another. You don't have to look any further than the National Defense Authorization Act. The NDAA passed in late 2011. In that case, the president said he would veto it, and sure enough, he signed it into law. So there is a chance that these threats are meaningless and this whole thing is moot, but we're really going to have to see what happens in the Senate before we can actually take it from there.
Andrew, remind our viewers, many of which aren't in America, why this act is causing so much controversy.
So the CISPA, the Cyber Sharing Intelligence, I'm sorry, the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, has come under a lot of criticism by its opponents because they say that it does more than what the authors say it does. Now, the authors of CISPA, they say that this bill will let businesses, private companies, Google, Facebook, and any internet provider, these companies will be encouraged to share information with the federal government that will be used to track down, monitor, and curb cyber attacks aimed at the United States computers. Now, in theory, yes, it would do that. CISPA would allow the government to have access to this information, and it would remove liability from these companies. But at the same time, critics say that it puts too much of Americans' privacy at risk and that the right safeguards aren't there. So, in turn, people would be sacrificing their privacy for a little bit of security, and the opponents of the bill say that the balance just hasn't been struck and it needs to go back and lawmakers need to try again to find a legislation that will handle these cybersecurity concerns while also making American people feel like they are at ease and that their communications will not be targeted.
Of course, the supporters of the bill wasting no time in mentioning the Boston bombings as a reason to pass the bill. Do they have a fair point?
It was almost comical because when the bill was introduced back in February, I believe, when it was introduced for the second time, Representative Ruppersberger, one of the authors of the bill, he said, you know, we can't have another 9/11. We can't have another terrorist attack. But if we do, we will pass any law that needs to happen. Sure enough, just a few hours ago, another congressman, I believe it was Representative McCall, not certain there. The whole story is on RT.com/USA. But another congressman, he actually got up and said, well, look at what happened in Boston. These were bombs. Sure, they weren't digital bombs, but the next ones will be digital bombs. So we need to come together for the sake of national security and do something. And that's exactly why a lot of people have problems with this bill, because the people who are touting it, the people who are writing it, are people that don't really understand these cybersecurity concerns. Another lawmaker actually said that WikiLeaks was a hacking group, and they're hacking the United States infrastructure. This is also like an unfounded claim. So there's a lot of concern over who is coming up with this bill, who is supporting it, and what they actually know about cybersecurity. The incident this morning saying that, you know, Boston would be reason enough to pass it.
Okay. Long story short, CISPA passed the U.S. House, or the Congress, and will it? The president said he would possibly veto it if it hit his desk. I find that hard to believe. Any power-grabbing bill that comes across his desk, he will welcome with open arms. I mean, this is what he said after the gun control vote that was failed. And he was angry, and a lot of people pointed out his anger. He said it was unimaginable that Congress would defy Americans and not pass a gun control bill. Here it is.
I think we've got a good chance of seeing it pass if members of Congress are listening to the American people. So let's just take the example of background checks. 90% of Americans think that we should make it tougher for criminals or people with serious mental illnesses to obtain a gun. And so the notion that Congress would defy the overwhelming instinct of the American people after what we saw happen in Newtown, I think, is unimaginable.
You are asking Democrats in conservative states to take a tough vote politically, something you yourself did not do. You didn't run on this in 2008 or 2012, not after Tucson, not after Aurora.
Well, I think that all of us had to reflect on what we did or didn't do after Newtown. The question is this potentially difficult politically because the gun lobby is paying attention and has shown no willingness to budge? Then the answer is yes. That's a given. Now, if the question is, what's the right thing to do, and what do the American people believe in, overwhelmingly, if that's what's guiding members of Congress during the next couple of weeks, then this will pass.
And there, I guess that was the wrong clip, but that was him before the vote, but still with that same tone saying, unimaginable that Congress would defy the American people. And what he's saying by the American people is he's talking about a poll being used as a real gauge of how American sentiments are to banning or passing their legislation, which is 90% approval, but they didn't tell you that only 254 people were polled. 254 people were polled in that poll. And I can guess which part of the lines, political lines, they lay on. But I'm going to give out the number 661-244-9839. I'll take calls for the rest of the half hour, or for the rest of this hour. We're going to be joined by Pierre in the third hour. Pierre has a show on Blog Talk Radio. It's called, it's on Freedomizer Radio. And I'll let him give out the information when he comes on. But I've been going on his show on Fridays. At some, he lives on the West Coast, so he has my time all messed up. It's like 4 in the morning when I go on his show. But no, it's fun every time I go on. But I'm going to bring him on in the next hour to go over some of this news. This is more about the Boston situation. How much did Homeland Security know about the bombers? Officials suspend 26-year-old citizenship request over FBI interview. Homeland Security put a hold on the Boston bombing suspect, Tamerlan, U.S. citizenship application because of a 2011 FBI interrogation. So due to a 2011 interrogation with the FBI, his citizenship application was on hold. Some have accused Janet Napolitano and others, rightfully so, of dragging their feet on certain immigration issues as the cause of this. But if these people are actually guilty, is still left to be seen. And I want to hear your opinion on this as you guys call in. 661-244-9839. We're going to try and get through these calls as quickly as possible. And I know we didn't have the ability really to take calls the last couple shows. But we got 24 minutes, so we'll get in there as many as we can. Area code 615, we're coming to you first. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, buddy. How you doing, man?
Not bad. Who's this?
It's the Patriot Networker. Do you remember me?
I think so. Not sure.
Okay, cool. Anyways, I've called in a couple times, so
okay.
I'll start out with this. Your first guest was awesome. Was it Lori? Was that her name?
Yes, L-O-R-R-I-E. Lori's News Talk Radio is the name of her show.
Okay, cool. Just give her a little plug there. Yeah, I'm going to check her show out. And then I was going to say, she was talking about, you know, infighting isn't a big deal if done, or I was thinking that infighting isn't a big deal if it's done, you know, diplomatically. And I was also going to say it's pretty good for a Patriot Network if you guys were to coincide maybe with the host from the next hour, too, and, you know, a couple other hosts that you can throw in there to create, like, a larger collective of, you know, patriot, like-minded people. And I feel like they would all bring, you know, a lot of different ideas to the table. So I don't really know if, you know, having different opinions is always a bad thing. But
oh, no. No, not at all. It's the vision. It is the when the different ideas turn into a cutting off of a debate issue, when it gets to that point, then it's a problem. When you can't talk to another person about 9/11 because they believe it was, you know, carried out by the government in a different way than you think, that then it's a problem. It is never a problem when it's just you know, peaceful debating or, you know, disagreeing. We can have that. That's good, because
right.
we need other people's opinions. We need to hear from the ideas of as many as possible. But when that becomes destructive to the point of the debate not even being allowed to happen, then it's a problem.
Yeah, for sure. So just as long as you do it with a graceful hand of love and no hatred involved. But and then I was going to say, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago. You were kind of saying that maybe Dennis Rodman going over to North Korea, that was, you know, maybe just an inside job for a government op to go with him and speak over there. And then the CIA, or was it a CIA that came out like a month later and said that that did happen, or that they did visit over there at some point? But anyway, I was going to ask you. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was on Drudge, but I was going to ask you about Jay-Z and Beyonce going to Cuba, and then later, like a couple days or a week later, Obama saying that, you know, you're going to get me impeached because of what you said, Jay-Z, because he came out and rapped about it and bragged about it, and I was just wondering if you thought that that was just another kind of like inside job to bring an operative overseas, or not, you know, over to Cuba and be able to talk to them. Like Dr. Fidel Castro.
Yeah. Was there more to it than just allowing and giving special exemption to these two U.S. Celebrities? Was there more
right.
to it than letting them just go over there for, and they said it was for diplomatic reasons for, you know, I don't remember the exact excuse, but no, I didn't look into it that hard, but Jay-Z and Beyonce are at the spear tippings, or the very top of a new age part when it comes to rap and hip hop influential music. They
yeah,
are a part of this satanic, occultic, whatever you want to call it, evil agenda. So I wouldn't put it past them, no matter what. They could have been doing anything, but from the most evil to the nothing harmless. But there's always going to be doubt when there's not transparency.
Yeah, it's creepy in itself that they're becoming good friends with Obama, obviously, sharing secrets. But
yes.
Yeah, and then I'll bring up my next point. I was going to say, you just talked about, you know, turning to God rather than media and man. And that was so powerful because I just got back from a camping trip. And I guess I'll tell you the location. It's called Fall Creek Falls in Tennessee. And it's a beautiful place. I'm from Tennessee, so they were like, you know, people from Ohio there that were saying, you know, well, you guys have never been here. I mean, just take advantage of your state parks. And I'm just going to recommend that to anyone who has a state park in the region, or, you know, even within 3-5 hours. And on top of that, it's easier to connect to God spiritually when you're out there in nature. You just talk to him the whole time while you're hiking and camping and backpacking and, you know, eating bugs, drinking out of mountains, eating plants, wild mushrooms. I mean,
yeah,
we did it all. And it was just a really spiritual release to live off the land and, you know, not really have to rely on cell phones or networking or any of this. So
I'm with you all the way, except the magic mushrooms. But I do believe
they were non hallucinogenic. They were just basically
okay.
morals
I wasn't sure.
or morals or morals. I don't know how you pronounce them, but they just looked like a sponge, and they made soup out of them. It was for a class field trip for my university, so it wasn't anything like crazy going on like that. But yeah, and then, you connect better when you're out there as well. That was the point of that. And then I'll bring up the next thing was, the CNET news article, I don't know if you saw it, is CISPA equals the Patriot Act for the web. And I was just going to say, what do you think about it? And also, what will be the hacktivist group Anonymous, what will their response be to this whole CISPA thing? I didn't know if you thought about that.
No, I haven't, but we saw their response last time with the different regulations the government wanted to bring. I'm not sure what Anonymous's purpose is, who their real leaders are, if they weren't hijacked or
right.
change manipulated. I do not know what Anonymous's goals are. They do say, I don't know if they support anarchism, but they are bringing some attention. A good amount of attention to issues. At the same time, they're not giving solutions either, which is a problem but we're going to have to wait and see about them. But no, you do make a great point. Being out in nature, definitely. Seeing the beautiful work of the Lord in the trees and how all the how our ecosystem works, how everything is taken care of, from the smallest like plankton to the biggest reptile running around in the jungle. How that cycle of life.
It was depressing coming back to the city, dude. Like on the way back, I was just, you know, driving by myself, and it was really depressing to come back to the city and see the chemtrails that you don't see out there, and, you know, see everyone eating fast food, driving up beside you, smoking a cigarette, and all the beer ads, and just seeing all the sex on TV is just kind of just garbage. It makes you even more awake to your surroundings once you're out there, and then you come back into this, and you're like, man, it's even worse than I thought it was. I mean, I know we're all awake here, but just that experience of being out in nature and then coming back to civilization in the way it is now, you know, with factories and pollutants everywhere. So it was a mind trip. But I was also going to say, yeah, you're right. The activist group, they could have been co-opted, but, you know, Aaron Schwartz, the one that killed himself or got murdered, whoever knows what, and then they have Operation Last Resort. It seemed like that was a pretty patriotic message, but like you said, you never know. There's probably anarchists in the group and whatnot. But I like Reddit. That site, I don't look at it that much, but people, you know, say it's like 4chan, but better or worse sometimes. So any type of open forum where people can blog and start discussions and have a debate, just like what we're doing here. So I think that's a great idea. But also, man, I was just going to – I'll try to wrap it up. I know you want to get other people in here, but you talked about Obama's anger just now over the gun control bill failing to pass. And, you know, I know you played the wrong clip, but once people go, now they can at least go look up the clip that you're talking about. And in that clip, I remember he said, you know, I was going to ask you, what do you think Obama's executive actions that he had mentioned in that clip, the one after they failed? He talked about, you know, executive order will have to be, you know, the next step. And I was wondering what you thought about after his speech, what will this include, this executive order, and if you knew, like, what the timeline for the arrival would be?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm going to answer that. I'm going to let you go back off air or put you on hold, and I'm going to answer that off air. I want to thank you – or not off air, on air. I want to thank you for your call, and I do appreciate it. What I think about the executive actions, well, what did we see in New York? What did we see in California and Connecticut as some of the Democratic, more pro – or I should say anti-gun governors and – states do. We saw the limiting of the rounds per magazine. We saw the limiting of the types of weapons you can have based on certain extras or features the gun has. An example of that is in New York. Your gun is considered an assault rifle if it has, you know, two out of the five characteristics of an assault rifle, which are pretty much that of any semi-automatic weapon, such as a pistol grip or a reloadable interchangeable magazine. So the whole definition in word language, the words that they're going to use in this executive order, I would be surprised if it doesn't basically do what New York State does, a nationwide – what they wanted to pass in the Congress, basically. The timing – I don't think they'll have to wait for another event to happen, but they could do it to generate some kind of event or to push us away from something else going on. You know, what if there is something else going on that won't be too noticeable, but we would see it, except if it weren't for all the news coverage about the new executive order legislation. So the timing really is up to them because it depends on where they're at with their agenda and what they can accomplish by releasing executive actions infringing on Second Amendment rights and how to use that as a tool to maybe push real hard and get through on some other issue. But either way, that was a great call. I want to thank you for your call. I'm glad you had fun hiking and camping. I would recommend to anybody who could camp, go out and have fun. I can't wait till it gets warm enough to camp. I might be able to catch couple weekend evenings this summer. Actually, I might be calling in from campsites hosting the shows. I'm just kidding around. Let's go to the next caller. 303 area code. We're coming to you next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbal and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
And as beautiful as always. What were you reading from there?
Going on, I'm in the book of Psalms.
This Psalms, is Psalms, okay.
150.
All right.
With everything going on with chaos in the world, we need to turn our focus upon the Lord as always. The first guest that you had on, I give kudos to her because she summed it up through the great two camps that I found myself in. There's the InfoWars 9/11 truth and what seems like the Pete Santilli, Judy Wood 9/11 truth. We could sum it up just like she said. We're not being told the truth. And like Pastor Rabbi Kahn said it best, it's about God taking his protection away from the United States. And there are great calamities well in advance and far ahead of us. We can't trust our government. We can't trust most people in positions of power, even those that cloak themselves in this essence of truth. We have to turn our focus on God and use our discernment and pray for discernment.
Amen. That's exactly right. And with discernment comes responsibility, too. That's when we find out that a lot of things that we were told throughout our life are not true. And we have the responsibility to tell others about the truth and tell others about the good news of the Lord, those who are not already in the Lord's word. But yeah, the division and divisiveness inside of the truth media or the so-called truth movements is very troublesome, because just like the church, just like the people who say they're Christians would argue with each other to the point of name-calling, to the point of bringing each other down to try to make their point be the point that is the most important or the right, rather than in, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says you'd be better to take it as a wrong if you were truly with the Lord, then it would be to argue out your point to the end or before the law. But that's the problem. People have gotten away from the principles that are in the Bible. The pastors too often don't teach all the hidden things, and maybe they don't have to. Maybe it is more on the people to learn. The saying has always been, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. We were given free will. And you can choose where you want to go. You choose not to believe in the Lord, if that's your belief. But you're not going to have excuse on Judgment Day for the second death. Anything
else?
Absolutely
love that terminology, because it's so right on, because it seems almost at times when you become strengthened in the Lord, people think that you're using it as a crutch, like you can't find the way in your own world. But this isn't our world. It belongs to Jesus. It was made for him and by him for his pleasure. But it's a broken world. We try so hard to find the truth. It's right in front of our eyes. He's our Lord and Savior.
That's
looking
right.
At these atrocities that keep happening, it's so easy to get wrapped up, like the topic of 9/11. We just know that there was a harbinger, and it was God taking his protection away from us.
I agree.
Kind of off topic.
That was the sign. I mean, that was the, in my mind, that was the, if I had to go back, and I was like 19 when that happened, but, and I didn't know, you know, that was God's, and the book, The Harbinger, laid it out so well. Everything that is written in the book Isaiah about the, replanting this tree and if I'll, you know, building it back against the Lord's will, all of that. And folks who don't or haven't seen interviews with Mr. Khan on The Harbinger, look that book up. Look that up on YouTube. It will make a lot of sense.
Can we try to get him on Hagman?
Oh, definitely. That has been a guest who's been recommended many times, and I never have I did not get around to getting the contact information or haven't found it, and I'm not sure my dad was any more successful than I, but that is somebody we definitely want to have on.
One more thing before I jump off the line. I know you guys are busy, and I'm looking forward to hearing from Pierre. But I think I saw in Steve Quayle that there's a possibility that this Saudi of interest that they held was Bin Laden's son.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Have you looked into that?
I mean,
that
why
at
the
all?
Special attention? I have not looked into the who, but I have
I believe
looked
it was
into
on Steve Quayle, but I could be wrong, but I definitely read up on the article that, and it's no question that Michelle would go visit him.
Yeah,
that's
why would
throw
the
out
president's wife visit a suspected bombing, a person of interest in the bombing of the Boston Marathon? Why would the president's wife visit him? Even if he was innocent, he was still a Saudi man. And I found the article you're referring to. But, and you're definitely right. There are a few things that are undisputed. We know that federal, state, and local authority took interest in a Saudi national named Abdul Rahman Ali Al-Arabi after the Boston Marathon bombings. They also know he was injured and that those authorities searched his apartment and hauled away bags of stuff. But that's about all we know, apparently. He was a person of interest. Things abruptly changed, and he was no longer a person of interest after Saudi foreign minister met with John Kerry, the Secretary of State. That's when he did not become a suspect or a person of interest anymore. So, yeah.
Well, Obama,
there's
Obama
a lot
didn't
to look
forget where he got all of his campaign contributions from, and a lot of them came from those Saudis.
Yeah, and Fox News, we know, is owned partly by Saudi Arabia, and the ties between the people in political office and the Bin Laden family. And, yeah, this is a tight-knit international network of criminals. And they're not, you know, you're once in a while you'll find a criminal like a Robin Hood that, you know, steals from the rich and gives to the poor. These people are evil, satanic people. They know what they're doing. They have a plan. And they're implementing it at a much easier and faster rate than they ever dreamed they could. And that is our fault for not paying attention. Anything else, caller?
Well, as a community, I want to pray the Lord's Prayer.
Sure.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for now and forever. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Joe. Happy birthday to your
Amen.
Dad. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks for the wonderful call and the prayer. God bless you. Talk to you next time. A couple of great callers we had there. It's fantastic. We're going to squeeze in one more call, 828 area code. We're coming to you now. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. We got just a few minutes.
Hello?
Yep, that's you, 828.
Is that me?
That is you. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
I can't believe it. First, I just want to give praise to God for letting you and your father have this window open at this time. And I know that the Christian community those of us who are saved and not under, you know, under this blindness, appreciate you. And Godspeed, Steve Quayle, and all of the others that have, Mr. Putnam, and all of the others that have been on, V, and I'm just full with gratitude to the Lord for giving you all to us as a community, because those of us who have not found you yet think that they're all alone. And I find that I'm 64 years old, and I've been saved since I was 14.
Wow.
And, you know, as everyone, you hear God is coming, you know, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. And now that we're here, it's almost surreal. Our prayers that kingdom come, thy will be done. And for those who are praying that, you know, these happenings and the word of God should be postponed. The word of God said, blessed is the man who looks for the second coming. I'm looking forward to it, and at the same time, my heart is just heavy with, it's like being inside a cage and looking out at the show.
Now, you're the second person.
I am
today that
so
said,
great.
That being in, yes. Made a reference to being in a cage. And if I could ask you, you've been saved for 50 years. Have you felt an increase in the spiritual
yes.
intensity
absolutely.
And the necessity to get closer to the word of the Lord?
To get closer, and I've not seen demonic influence in all realms, media, the mindsets that are taught to our children. I thought when I was in junior high school, that's my dog, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I thought when I was in junior high school, when people were allowed not to say the Pledge of Allegiance or say the word, you know, to say the Lord's Prayer in public, but you had to stand and you had to give reverence. I never thought that things would be so reversed now that you can't even put the nativity scene on your lawn without being arrested.
That's
someone
right.
brought Gideon Bibles to the school here in Asheville, North Carolina, and they were ridiculed, and the Wiccans called and said that they demand that their Bible be put on display with it. I never thought I would see something like that. That the Luciferian Bible be put on display for children to read as a Bible. We are in such we haven't entered into the Great Tribulation now. God help us. God help us. We need to pray
Amen.
Together. We need to. This is an urgent call, as everyone said, because it is not going to get better. I don't care who prays. It is not going to get better. Time is winding down. This is the clarion call, and we need to come to attention. Someone said, I think it was a pastor that was on either today or yesterday. Might have been Saturday. I think it was
yes.
Saturday. And
Pastor
he said
Langford.
That we God would, it's in the Bible, it's a verse, that he would put a strong delusion. Now, when I read that years and years back, I thought, nothing like today. This is horrendous for the Christian that is really saved. And it's amazing who is in the church that think they're saved and they're not saved. How can you go
yep.
from wife to wife to wife to husband to husband to husband, say a quick prayer, God forgive me, and you just shake off your clothes and get back in the pulpit? This
yes.
is really serious.
Continuing along the same behaviors like they were never in church to begin with. Yeah. It's sad. It is serious. And like you said, so great, powerfully, it's not going to get better.
We have to pray for God's speed. Not
yep.
God delay, God's speed, because as the Bible said, if it were possible, the very elect would attain. Because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at, with open eyes, what's going on. And if I'm not fearful, but I'm astonished and apprehensive on where we'll be next year. This is
right.
Truly birth pains. We're getting ready
yes,
to
it
give
is.
Birth whole completely different reality.
That's right.
And as the world is concerned. And I just pray. I wish you would pray for me. I feel like I've stopped going to church because I can't stand to be with this. I have not found a church that understands the relevancy of today. They're just taking up collections and having their little picnics and just getting
what is
dressed
what is your
up.
First name?
The dress that these women are coming to church in, half the breasts are out. Oh, I've not seen anything like this before in my whole life.
No, you're right. What is your first name?
Pat.
Pat? Okay. Pat, we're up against the top of the hour break. I want to thank you for your call, and you will be in our prayers. And feel free to call again, and don't. I would not ever want you to feel like you're alone. You do have a family here at the Hagman and Hagman Report, and we
no
will
doubt.
Be praying for you.
Yes. Pray for...
And feel free to call anytime.
Please pray for mountains, because there's something going on here. I don't know whether... seems like there's a connection with witchcraft and the mountains, different mountain regions in the world. We need to. We don't realize the relevance of witchcraft. Oh, we don't. We do, but the world doesn't. They've blended
yeah.
so much garbage. I noticed the top of the hour. God bless you. Have
God bless you
one...
too, Pat.
I'm listening.
Yeah, God
Bye.
Bless you too. We will be praying for you, and I hope to hear from you again. What a bunch of wonderful callers we had tonight. We're going to go to a break. We're going to come back with Pierre and hit the news, maybe take more callers. But I just want to thank each and every one of you for being with us tonight, or being with me tonight, as my father has his birthday off. If I remember correctly, the 28th of March, just a little couple days ago, almost a month ago, I think I did the show on my birthday. We're going to have to talk to him about that when he comes back, aren't we? Either way, we'll be right back after this with our third and final hour. To listen to the Hagman and Hagman this Monday, April 22nd, 2013.
Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines, you just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the Brick Pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Well, the big question at the Supreme Court today is whether or not you can patent a human gene. Sounds like a simple question, but it has gotten quite complicated. The plaintiffs in this case are medical societies and patient advocacy groups. The case is against a biotech company called Myriad Genetics. Now, this company has patents on two genes called BRCA1 and BRCA2. Testing for these two genes, the mutation of these two genes, can determine if a patient is at risk for developing breast cancer. Myriad says they spent billions of dollars over the span of decades on research and tests in identifying these genes. But opponents of these gene patents say that no one person, no company has the right, has a patent to the human body, and they are saying that doing so is preventing and blocking other companies from moving forward with their own research, with their own development, and possibly creating treatments to breast cancer. We even had breast cancer patients coming forward saying that the patents on these genes have prevented them from getting the tests that they need, and leading to a possible diagnosis and getting the treatment that they need. Now the question today is whether or not the Supreme Court can consider isolated genes a product of nature. Typically, we see the Supreme Court siding with patents, with patent laws, but today it played out differently. And that is because we are talking about the human body. We even had Justice Sonia Sotomayor saying that the leaves of plants are gold naturally found in nature, that they are made in nature, that they are naturally occurring, and therefore you can't put a patent on those substances. So it seemed as if the justices were leaning towards the plaintiffs in this case. Now, we should point out that patents on human genes, they have been happening for decades. So a decision in this case could have huge implications on medical research for decades and decades to come. A ruling in this case is expected before the end of summer. And from the Supreme Court here, Liz Wall, RT.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour of this Monday, April 22nd edition, 2013. First 2 hours were fantastic. We had Lori from Lori's News Talk Radio on the first hour. We had several wonderful callers during the second hour. And we talked a little bit about the situation in Boston and deception that is occurring in the world today, in our country, and the people that are leading others down the road of blindness, and how this needs to be turned around, and if it even can be turned around. I'm going to be joined by this hour by another show host, Pierre. You guys know him well. He is a regular caller, guest, sending information, giving information a lot, exposing the enemy on Freedomizer Radio. It's his show here on Blog Talk Radio. Pierre, welcome to the Hagman Hagman Report.
Thank you for having me, Joe. Hello, everyone in the chat room and everyone abroad that's listening. This has
been glad you're here.
Thank you. This has been a very interesting month for all of us, to say the least, how the week rolled. I'm going to go off something here out of the Bible. Someone had mentioned this to me and said that Psalm 46 had applied to me. So I'm going to read this first time, because it's just something that hit me, and I think it's appropriate, and then maybe all of you can interpret it how you like. Psalm 46 states, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord and desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Wow. I like that. That was rather empowering. I still have to interpret a lot of that, but I feel really good with that. I feel really good with reading that to all of you. I hope it brings some measure of peace and, you know, peace of mind to all of you.
Yeah, thanks for reading that. That was very beautiful. Pierre, I want to ask you, we haven't talked, I was on your show Friday, I think, and this Boston situation, my father wrote an article about it that I missed today, and I feel bad as he is sending me messages from his luxury pool vacation, no, I'm kidding, from where he's hanging out at, and he says the article ties Boston to Benghazi, and I guess I should put it out in the chat room and read it for myself. I'll read it after the show, and I'll put it in the chat for you guys now. What information, Pierre, what do we know about this Saudi national who was spotted with two other Saudis at the marathon, and why was he visited by the president's wife? Why was he named a person of interest and then not a person of interest after a meeting with John Kerry and Saudi foreign minister?
Well,
that meeting seemed to change something with this man.
Okay, first off, for everyone that's listening, I don't have any definitive information right now, but we're going to go play a game of probability. And you guys all know how I do probabilities, and this is what I'm thinking happened. Our little Saudi guy was originally a patsy. That's what I think. I think he was dead center to become a patsy, and the end result of that would have been a more in-your-face hate against Muslims, a more definitive a hit against Islam in America. But it didn't quite work out the way they wanted it to, because the mainstream media, for once in their lives, actually told the truth when it all went down. And then add into the fact the photos that were brought about with the craft being present, and that was in large part thanks to the photographic evidence that was presented by Alex Jones and his team at InfoWars. It really got the powers that be in an uproar, because you see, now the truth got exposed to such a high degree that our Saudi boy and his connection was really starting to unravel. It was really starting to reveal just what was going on there. This is a false flag. Let's be perfectly clear with that. It was a complete false flag.
Okay.
And then they turned their attention to two other gentlemen, the Sarnoff brothers, the Sarniev brothers, Chechenian Muslims. Let's pin it on the Chechens.
And news just came out that they said they got information, they being the officials, CNN just broke this, that they got information from the one that's left alive saying there was no international plot or other terrorists involved.
Really? If that's the case, then why was it that they have, I won't say the brothers themselves, but their training and doing what they did, why is it that they have ties with that and other terrorists have ties with that through the training camps that were built by the KGB, which is now split between the FSB and the SVR. How's that? Then, if that's the case, we might as well be asking Mother Russia, what were you doing? I mean, okay, granted, you helped expose them to us, but at the same time, what's going on here? Folks, the KGB is not dead. It's just splintered into two different groups, the FSB and the SVR. They still carry out the same functions. They're a lot more refined than what they did. But the fact remains that we got these two guys here, one of which is fully loaded with holes, dead, and the other one has been, I guess, summarily interrogated. I guess they're making a big deal about his Miranda rights or what have you. As far as I'm concerned, if you're doing the bombing, you've abdicated your Miranda rights. So the ACLU, if you're listening, you're wrong in defending him.
Sound police work, sound justice system, sound justice system, sound tactics of the justice system to follow the constitutional laws, or are there laws that have been applied specifically for these type of events? Now, we saw, three dead and hundreds injured in this? I'm not calling this anything minor, but compared to 9/11, this was nothing like 9/11.
No.
In a sense it was, though, but you think that they should not have Miranda rights, or are you saying that because the possibility of them being part of a cell, a part of the information needs to, they need to
I would say that they couldn't get?
If they Mirandized him?
I would say that he didn't need to be Mirandized. Why? And here it is. And this is the fine line that one must draw here. Logically, if you Mirandize someone, then they become subject to the United States Constitution, of which the Fifth Amendment gives the individual the right to prevent themselves from being, prosecuted, the whole double standard, double penalty thing. If he was Mirandized, he could have easily tossed the Fifth Amendment out, and that would just ruin a lot of things. It would drag out a case. It would cost taxpayers ungodly amounts of money, which we already don't have as is. And it would become such a politicized fiasco or crap that it would be pointless. Now,
okay.
That's just my take on that. I mean, should he have been Mirandized? That's like me saying, hey, should the cops have simply said, come out with your hands up instead of opening up with 308 and 556 rounds that took out his brother? I mean, they've already pretty much made up their mind. And now I'm going to add into this other part here, as you were asking me about, does the law adapt or do they apply things? Of course they do. Why? Look what the FBI can do. I'm sure they're listening. The Federal Bureau of Investigation can write their own warrants out without even having to go see a judge. They can do whatever they want within the realm of reason that was applied to them through the Patriot Act. That in and of itself, as far as I'm concerned, is quite unconstitutional. Now, you think about that and then you see whether or not you really care for Miranda or not, because obviously they don't. Any law enforcement agency that has the power to do such a thing and get away with such stuff with carte blanche isn't really going to care about the law. They're not. They're only going to care about results and then how they can spin it, how they can work it. That's just my point of view.
Okay. So you said this was definitely a false flag. I agree with you. We're not seeing anything of truth. We saw what happened with the Saudi. Going back to him for a minute, they had him as a person of interest. And as my dad wrote, in his article, there was that was rescinded at 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, and all of a sudden he was enjoying protective status on orders from the highest level of government.
The highest level of government is national command authority. That would be the president of the United States. There is no authority higher than him in the land.
And from what my dad says, they wiped his record clean to the point where not only was the order rescinded, but his file was made to appear as if the order never existed in the first place.
Yeah, it can be done. They can ghost him, and it sounds like what they did. It made him a ghost, and they made him in a different image where he's perked here in America. As to answer your question as to why the First Lady had visited him, the only thing I can think of that comes first thing comes to mind is to convey her husband's wishes to him. We're gonna, okay. And I can't say for sure what she said, but I could see it going along the line of, "Don't worry, we got you taken care of." There you go, end the story on that. Because there is no logical reason why the First Lady would be visiting. Why? What purpose does she have to be there? She has no legal reason to be there. No nothing. She didn't do anything in terms of condemning him for actions. She didn't commend him for anything. She just appeared and wants to release that intel. Not us. They released it that she did the visit. So as far as I'm concerned, she's conveying a personal message to him from her husband. Could be wrong.
Okay.
I don't think I am.
What about the surveillance? The surveillance video. Why have we not seen the proof that, or the evidence showing the guilt of this man or these men?
The reason being, and again, folks, I don't have any books in front of me and no notes. So I don't have anything to back what I'm saying. I'm going off of what I know and just instinct on is. The reason being, and it's going to insult a lot of you, none of you need to know. None of you need to know. It's on a need-to-know thing. Yes, I'm playing devil's advocate here because this is how they're thinking.
No,
you
I love it because it's
right.
Right
to know. You don't have a right to know because it's in the interest of national security. National security? Really? You mean to tell me that this kid that we found is a Saudi national who has a direct connection or indirect connection to what's going on? He gets visited by the First Lady. His record gets clean. The guy gets a brand new life. It's like a racer with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It just happened, and he's cleansed of anything. And he gets a free ticket out of his country, just like the Bin Laden family did during 9/11 or just prior to it. That shows you, folks, definitive evidence right there that there's complicity from the highest levels of government concerning this one individual and the unscheduled talk that the president had with the Saudi government or the Saudi representative. Either way you look at it, folks, it adds up to high crimes and misdemeanors. That equals out as treason.
And we know that treason has been a huge part of our government's standard operating procedure here in the late last 10 years, 12 years, maybe further than that. It goes back. I appreciate your opinion on Boston and on these men now.
Understand this really quick. No matter what, the man that's sitting in office, the highest office of the land, no matter how many times people point out treason, no matter how many times people say that, nothing will happen to him. Not yet, Joe. But right now, nothing's going to happen to him.
Yep, you're right. And you just reminded me, a previous caller asked about the Jay-Z words stating, you know, you're going to get me impeached. The president saying that to a response to a song Jay-Z made. But in all reality, there is no he's going to be impeached. If he's going to be impeached, it would not be over sending entertainer to Cuba. It would be for Fast and Furious. It would be for NDAA. It would be for drone or war crimes via drones. It would be for a lot more important reasons than that. So, he will not get impeached for sending Jay-Z.
Everything that you're seeing is smoke and mirrors. There is a reason why particular things are happening. Whether any of you are using discernment or not to figure it out, that is going to be on you. But there is a reason. Just because you see something on the surface doesn't mean that there's another game that's in play or another game within a game. You're talking secrets that have secrets within secrets, you know? So it's a deep thing. And to get yourself in that mindset, folks, can really wrap you up. But if you're willing to go that far down a rabbit hole to find out, by all means. But understand this. Once that starts, there's no stopping it. Mind you, they're not stopping it at all, and they're loving the confusion. They're loving the confusion, the level of it that's being played, and they're still getting ready to conduct more exercises. I mean, for real?
Yep.
So, to quote the X-Files on one episode, deceive, inveigle, obfuscate.
We talked about this on your show Friday. The where Americans are as a populace. And I went over this article a little bit in the first hour. I don't know if you heard. Americans snapping by the millions, suicide, fear, anxiety, all at high levels, higher than they've ever been. And the World Net Daily article says, terrorism, chaos, fear of the future in the age of Obama, America is undergoing a fundamental fundamental transformation. That much everyone knows. And they tend to just blame this on Obama's actions and leave it at that. And they go on to say why people are snapping, why people are getting angry and frustrated, and it's the big government, it's the tyranny, and maybe part of it is Obama being the person, the face of some of the final stages of this soft martial law. But my question is to you, if they're snapping now, what's going to happen in weeks, months, when things get really bad? You know what I mean? If we're seeing people having mental breakdowns, committing suicide over the level of stress and anxiety that's in their mind based on current events today, I can't imagine what it would be like to live in a world like this as it gets worse for any length of time, for a year, 2 years, 3 years. It just seems like it would be horrific. I don't know what to say, but they say in this article, even from children to senior citizens.
Forgive me. Give me just a moment. I shall return. Someone ringing my doorbell. For real, I'll be right back. Sorry.
All right. You keep that mic on just to make sure. No, I'm kidding. No, Pierre, we did a – you guys go back to exposing the enemy, him and his co-host, and I were on. And they had, I think they had somebody else on or another caller called in. But on Friday nights, I've been trying to make it a habit to call into their show because they've been doing a real good job of talking about what's going on in current events, what's going on through a perspective from the Bible on what's current events. And Pierre, I was just telling them about being on your show Friday and how your show is tying together current events through the Bible and Bible prophecy, and how important that is today. And I have fun coming on your show. You guys, you and your co-hosts do have a great show. And
we do what we can.
Yeah. And we'll get into that in a couple more minutes because I want to say some good things about your show and get the links out. And I want people to listen to it as often as they can because you can download the archives. I know your shows are like 6 in the morning or 4 in the morning, but my time. But you can still get the archives on iTunes and any podcast app. But back to what we were talking about.
Yeah, you
all these things. Yeah, go ahead.
You were asking me about people cracking now, what it will be like then. This is what I see it as it is. I see society as you know it, America. It's done. It's ending. It's already happening with the people losing it right now. When it actually goes down, it'll probably be like unlike anything we've ever seen. It'll be something right out of a movie. The only difference is you're living it. The level of anarchy will be off the charts. There's no way emergency medical services can cope with what will be coming, what will be happening at that time. The only people who will be able to have a sane mind with this are those who are capable of dealing with some hard stuff and those who have discernment, those who are in the spirit. Thus, I've always said, make sure your spiritual houses are in order, because as the malady, the madness of things are breaking down, folks, you will be able to go through it. You don't stick around and watch the show happen. You get out of Dodge. You do not want to be consumed by the darkness that will envelop a lot of people. When this thing goes down, some of the projections that came out was when the EBT cards go zero and disaster happens and what have you, 1 million people per city, 1 million people per major city will cease. Okay, that's a lot of people. That is due to the anarchy, to the stress, to the violence. They will give in to the craziness because they don't know what to do because they were not prepared. They didn't take the steps to prepare. They laughed and mocked those that did, and it all came spinning right back into their faces. Yep. This is why,
you're right.
If you're listening, you don't want to be one of these people.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't know what you're seeing, but there are things changing. And I know we talked about this on your show, the spiritual condition of so many people. And what we're seeing people snap now obviously lack a good foundation, a solid foundation in the Lord. Those people that don't have that foundation, this is what we see happening. And what the Bible say would happen at the end times, men's hearts would fail them. People would be so full of fear and anxiety, they would drop dead.
And it's
and
happened.
We're not too far from that, yeah.
But this isn't our fault as Christians, because you see, you can only do so much. You can only say so much. You know, if people start laughing at you or they decry you, then you close your mouth and you leave them. You can bless them silently and just go on about your business. You cannot save everyone. At the end of the day, everyone has free will. It has been given to us since we were formed. Okay? Free will. So by definition, you can choose to worship the Lord. You can worship Lucifer, or you can go whatever routes you want to go. But there's only one true way, and that true way will help you. And I think for the most part, the reason why most people do not like going to God, and this is, it took me a while to figure this out. The bottom line is people, for the most part, don't want to be subservient. They don't want to obey. They don't want to give up what they're having in the flesh. And it isn't a big thing to ask. That's the thing. It's not a big thing. But you see, in their minds, it is a very big thing to ask. And then there's those that question and question and question. And they're opening their mouths up so much that they're not even bothering to listen to the Lord's response. And so then that's where they deviate and go into their own little world, whether they want to be agnostic or atheist. Or what have you. You know, they don't want to listen. And there's that's the fine line. Either you ask your questions quiet, or you know, you fail.
You said it perfectly, the free will. What did Adam and Eve have when they were in the Garden of Eden? They had life, health. They were, all their needs were met.
They
but they also
everything.
Had free will.
Yes, they did.
Because obviously, if they didn't, Jesus would have never had to die for our sins. That could have all been avoided. They chose the wrong way. They were the initial people that sinned. And it was designed that way, obviously. Because why would Jesus need to be created before the world? And this free will issue goes to the heart of the matter of spirituality. We have free will. People think, well, and I don't know, I'm sure you've heard this, if God does things this way, then it's not anybody I want to follow, you know? Or how could a loving God do something like this or that? A lot of the stumbling blocks that happened in my life were blessings in disguise, things I've learned to learn from, or things I've used to learn from. A lot of the tragedy and the problems that have happened that I've created with my own doing, I've been fortunate enough to be able to learn from some of these. And I've had the free will to choose what I wanted to do, who I wanted to follow. Why do so many today? Is it really the great deception today that so many turn away from God? I mean, never before has a generation like we have today turned away from God. The majority has always believed in the Lord. And especially with Christians that believed in the Lord, most of them were on fire for the Lord. They knew what was right and wrong without reading their Bibles every day, without I'm not going to say without prayer, but they didn't. The discernment seemed to be, especially for a while there, when after the USA was founded, up until the 19th century, they seemed to be understanding of spiritual right and wrong. The churches did, the people did, the leaders did. Now it's the opposite. The churches, don't know what exactly to teach because they don't know what time it is. The people don't know what is real. There's all these new ideas and, you know, aliens and disclosure, all these, I would say, scientifically more popular looking and sounding options than God today. Is that why? Or is this designed, like the fall of man in the garden, as a indicator to those who are alive in Christ?
I would say it's a little bit of both. But you see, we as men have that choice to actually turn this thing around. It makes me wonder that if man got his or her proverbial head out of the sand and really tuned into the Lord, would Revelation still play out? Would these things happen had people really turned to the Lord? Makes one wonder. It really does.
Yeah, or if this was, we were known, you know, before we were known, God knew the number of hairs on our head before we were delivered into this world.
Exactly.
He had a plan for us.
My heart tells me that, you know, the struggle that we're going through is definitely necessary for it was written. This is where you're going to see the chaff and the wheat being separated. And for those who profess to be all that into the Lord, you will see some fall. You'll probably see a lot of them fall. Probably more likely at their own hubris, you know, than anything else.
This is
probably the most trying time I think we've ever had in our lives as a species. And how this thing's going to play out, I mean, I can only really begin to imagine. I see it honestly like in a gray state-like manner, like how they're doing their thing under the concept trail of how gray state is. That's how I see it playing out. Will it last forever? Obviously, no, it will not.
No, staying true what happens
to the Lord is probably the coolest thing anyone can do, but it's also one of the most challenging things. And why I say that it's challenging is because there's going to be so many things that are out there that will cater to your baser desires, to your baser needs.
To your carnal mind, yeah.
And people will go to that. And once they go to that, they will lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a very hard thing for most people to try to grasp. Oh, I could easily get back into the Lord's grace and repent. What if it isn't so easy as that? You know,
no.
People are so ready, Joe. People, I hear, I've seen in chat room, I've heard people talk. They just want to be done with this and be ready to go. Well, guess what? It doesn't work that way. I hate to disappoint people. I hate to piss some people off, but that's the truth. You want to know if you're in the spirit. You want to know if you're right with the Lord. You had best be ready to endure. Because if you can't endure the journey, you're not going to see the glory. End of story. I didn't mean to make it sound like it's a rhyme or rap, but it's true. And
no,
this is why we're going through the things that we're going through. You know? I mean,
no, I agree. We have to overcome and endure. And where I was reading from today in Revelations, it says John, who wrote Revelations, is, let me find it here, he is the person who will be with you for the tribulation. And it says, I write to you, fathers, this is 1 John, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. So, overcoming is a overlapping theory or overlapping statement made in the New Testament. Overcoming the stumbling blocks that are thrown in our everyday lives, overcoming evil that is aimed at us, overcoming sin and temptation and lust and wants of the flesh for heavenly treasures. That's what we need to, how we need to overcome. It says, because thou hast kept the world or the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all of the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. But him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him a new name. That's Revelations 3, verses 10 through 12. Yeah, 10 through 12. To overcome. It's not just the tribulation we have to overcome. Like the actual tribulation. It's not just the birth pains. It's a fight on a day-to-day basis with ourselves and with our carnal and flesh, our carnal mind and fleshly body versus our spiritual mind and spiritual bodies.
And so when one talks about the war of the spirit, folks, you must also understand it's not just against infernal beings. It's really also within yourself. The war of the spirit is within you, and only you can overcome, you know, the craziness that will befall you. The question is how far are you willing to go? How committed you are, you know, to the Holy Spirit? How committed are you to God? How committed are you to make that sacrifice? Some of us will be called to make the ultimate sacrifice. Some will do it without even any hesitation. You know,
mm-hmm.
We all have our roles to play. So,
that's right.
With that end, I find comfort in just simply praying, because that's the simplest step to do. It is the simplest way to go. And you'll find peace of mind with that. And that's where patience comes in. And through that patience, folks, comes understanding and tolerance. If you can achieve these simple goals, you will be fine. If you cannot, you're going to have a problem. You're going to be hurting in a very bad way.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be really hurting. Some of us will be tasked with leading the remnant out. Others will be tasked with defending. Others will be tasked with teaching. The times are coming where things are going to change in such a radical way, so quick, so fast, that your mind is just going to pop. But if you're strong in the spirit, you'll be able to take it in, because you're going to know, so it has been written, ... You'll be okay.
There's news here. Yeah, Pierre, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's
there's news here that there are two accused in Canada plotting of train derailment, and they are affiliated to Al-Qaeda, they say. There was also bomb threats called in today to several hospitals in Alabama, a elementary school and a courthouse in Connecticut, a shopping village in Pennsylvania, a Florida office building, an Iowa neighborhood.
It's
we saw the
like
letters.
Wildfire.
Yeah.
It's spreading like wildfire. Folks, the things that Joe he's been reading to you, the things that I've seen, that some of you have come across, it's real. The game is on. The hands are being played at all levels. They don't care who it affects or what. Some of this stuff is just purely psychological, just to mess with your mind. Others of it is real, with psychological overtones on it. You must remember that all the best weapons and technology are being turned inward. And one of the most powerful weapons to be used is psychological operations.
Yeah, psychological warfare. And
bullet when you can see something and twist it so bad that guess what? You become one of those people that snap and lose it, and now you're a statistic.
Did you say save a bullet at first?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. Yep. Because through these psychological operations, whether conducted on our theater of public or the theater of the politics or the theater of war, these tactics are most effective. The propaganda that Goebbels set up or really used to brainwash the German masses has been redefined and made better to the point, I mean, we're talking evil genius scientists here, thinking of the best way, easiest way to deceive people. And they're doing it. And they've been doing it. And we see it today when people who walk, you know, you go to any city in the country, your average everyday people who walk to and from work, or you see them on the sidewalk, in the subway, whatever, don't have a basic understanding of our government system, how it works, how it's supposed to work, how it is working. They don't even have a basic understanding of the Lord, of Jesus, what happened to Jesus on the cross, why he was on the cross. And I was chatting with somebody earlier saying, you know, there has to be a correlation between lack of biblical knowledge and lack of earthly knowledge. For those who have a foundation of biblical knowledge, it is easier to understand the good and the bad, and is easier to be either good or bad. The biblical knowledge can give you a leg up if you want to be bad. And you can really, if you twist things, you know more than most people, you know, about behaviors and how people's minds are carnal, as it says in the Bible. I mean, it lays out what to stay away from it and why to stay away from it and how to stay away from it. At the same time, these words can be used and twisted to work against the people, because this is a blueprint for how to live. So if this is a blueprint for how to live, they can turn it into, well, if this is how you should live, then this is how we'll make it.
You know, Joe, we were talking about psychological operations. Here's one that's, I'm not sure if you hit on this or not. This came out yesterday, and it's a pretty big sized, psychological mind screw. But if it's true, then I don't know. I'm putting it in a chat room right now. Let me find this here real quick. It says the title of it is Nuke Event in L.A., April 28th, Facebook page memorial set up days ago. Now, let's take that into context really quick. Is something
I heard about that earlier.
Is something really going to happen in Los Angeles, or is it just a drill? But then, wait a minute, folks. We know how drills roll, because when a drill happens, something stupid happens.
Mm-hmm.
So going on here? Is the City of Angels really going to go the way of the dinosaur? I don't know. But I find all this to be very, very interesting, but at the same time, I find it to be, I'm not going to lie to you, I find it pretty bit frightening. Why? Because it's psychological, and you see, you're not going to be able to know. You're not going to know.
Right. Just so, like this case. Just like 9/11. Exactly. Just like every 3-3-7-7. All these attacks on people, on military men, on whoever, conducted by the government, we never get to the bottom of it. Either the divisiveness and problems within the human mind. You know, we were talking about 9/11, the two factions in the 9/11 truth movement with our first guest, Lori. She was right on the money. If you can't even agree together or come together enough to agree on the same thing that you already agree on, there's a big problem. And through dividing the divided, that's how they're getting us, through incrementalism and division.
And it's like what I said before. There are three specific ways you bring down a country. One, you divide the population's ideological beliefs. You divide them class. You divide them economically. You do all these things politically. We are seeing this happen. We've been living this for over 50 years in this country. Okay? Actually, longer than that, but that's just how far I can go with that. We have been that divided, folks. Understand that. Then number two, you bleed out the country's defense mechanism, i.e. the military. You see what's happening with the sun at. And then finally, you destroy its economic infrastructure. We're seeing that. One of our best allies, Australia, has just gave us the finger in terms of the American dollar in favor of the Chinese yuan. It doesn't get more in your face.
Right.
Than that. So are these things going to happen, folks? Pierre, is this going to happen for real? Yes. When is it going to happen?
As
this year. Do you know when? I'm thinking May or June. That's just me. Because, Joe, things have gotten way out of control. And people are not getting it in their heads. And I'm frustrated with it. I just gave up with that, you know?
Let me add to the point you made about the continuing to divide through the class lines, the racial lines, all these different divisions that they find. As soon as they get it down to where they divided everybody enough that they want, they're going to pull the rug out from everybody. So you're going to have a bunch of unhappy, unprepared, divided, hateful people all around you and nowhere will there be for support for them? Because they can't sustain themselves. They can't, and they already hate you because you have something they don't, or vice versa. So people can imagine how this is going to play out.
Well, it's going to be the one show that you don't have to worry about, folks. I'm going to sound a little bit facetious here. You don't have to worry about having a degree in acting. You don't have to have speech and debate or drama class. You are going to be the show. It's like what William Shakespeare had said, all the world's the stage, and you're about to see it. It's unveiling, and it's happening, and it's sad because we, the people, have allowed it to happen. You have no one else to blame but yourselves, and to that end, because you didn't have your faith in order, look what happened. They
right.
count on this, folks. Historically, mm-hmm. it has been proven when conflict breaks out around the world, America becomes insular. We're not going to have any problems with that. Our world is perfect. We're fine. And what happens? Something stupid gets engineered to get us brought into stuff, and now we're all in the hoopla mixed in it. Well, it went too far, folks. It went way too far.
And that's so right, big, Pierre.
Yeah, and the biggest question I would have to ask anyone, Joe, is this. What are any of you intending to do about it? For real. Do any of you have any plans? What's your response?
Save yourself. Save your family. Prepare for your family, for yourself, for your family, and for your neighbors if possible. If you can't, then pray the Lord opens those doors for you, because he does answer you. And he knows what you need. But if you just put your trust in him, and don't just pray for it. Put your trust in him. Put your faith behind that prayer. That's what he wants from you. He wants your faith. He wants you to do his will, not your will or my will. It's him. It's his will. And if we can't do that, then we really are unproductive. We need to reevaluate ourselves and make the proper changes. But, Pierre, we're in the last closing minutes here.
Yes, we are.
I'm going to let you go. I'm going to bring on Phil from Revelation News, as he is just going to announce he's having a show tonight with an important guest he wants to announce.
Good night, everyone.
So thanks for calling, Pierre, and being part of the show. I really appreciate it. Exposing the Enemy on Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesdays and
Fridays. Freedomizer Radio. Yeah. Go ahead and give the times out.
For Pacific, it's 10:30 to midnight. 10:30 to midnight Pacific, and you can run with it from there, Exposing the Enemy. Thank you.
Excellent.
All for
Thank
listening
you.
And for having me on a show.
Yeah. God bless you, Pierre. Take care, and we'll be talking with you soon.
Thank you. Night.
Good night. All right, folks, we're almost at the very end of the show. We only have about 2 minutes left. Tomorrow, my dad and I will be back in studio together, unless he decides to take extra vacation days, which would be fine with me. He does deserve them. But I'm going to bring Phil on the air, 9/11 first responder Phil, Revelation News on Blog Talk Radio. Phil, you're on live. We got about 2 minutes, 120 seconds exactly left.
Gotcha. Dan Van Gundy. Dan Van Gundy, I'm sure you all know who he is. He's the fellow who, one of his producers and correspondents, as well as co-hosts of the Prison Planet TV show. He broke the story open and wide, and Revelation News is blessed to have him tonight at midnight.
Awesome.
And you're more than welcome to co-host, because I could use your investigative skills to pick and prod his brain for me.
I appreciate that, Phil.
Gotta ask the wife.
I'm not sure if I'll be allowed. Yeah, I definitely have to ask the wife.
Can you come and play? No, seriously, but it's going to be a great show. I think it already has 102 likes, and I just put it together today. I've been in contact with Dan now for 2 weeks, by the way. And
well, that's fantastic.
He's been busy, and he said, I'll pick you. You'll be the first on BTR, he said.
There you go.
Yeah, and I made a deal that I would come on Alex's 9/11 show.
Yeah?
You know, then I, you okay. know, so basically it was a reciprocal, okay. So I said, yeah, I'll come on. And I said, on one premise, that we could get a half hour at Alex. And he said, we may be able to arrange that. And I said, that would be a great thing.
Hey, well, at least getting him on your show is what counts. We got to remember the 9/11 first responders are still in need, are still
Thank you for that.
Dying,
thank you. Three of us a week are dying, buddy. Three of us a week are dying. I just got out of hospital 11 days ago for something, for kidney infection again. So it's like we're getting sick like crazy.
Phil, what's the name of your show so I can post in the chat room? Revelation News
Radio? Yeah, Revelation News Radio. And I can't even get in your chat room. You must have over 500 people or more.
No, they're experiencing problems with the chat function tonight. So that
I kind of figured that, which means we ain't going to have no chat function on tonight's show either.
Not sure. But I am going to let you go. We're at the end of the show. Phil, God bless you. We'll talk with you later. You have a great show. And thank you, each and every one of you, for joining me tonight. Without my father, it has been a pleasure to be here with you, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a great night.